company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Thursday, June 29th, when my guest will be author Morris Berman. We'll be talking about his new book, Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. That's the Sloan Ranger Show, 5 p.m. Thursday, June 29th, only on WGNU.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
To Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion.
We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
This is where we work and where dozens of people are killed in crashes. Now, camera enforcement in work zones. Injure or kill a worker, you could be looking at up to $10,000 in fines and prison time. When workers are present, the speed limit is 45 miles per hour. We work to keep the roads safe. Now, the Illinois Department of Transportation is asking for your commitment to do the same. Join us in our Orange Ribbon campaign. Keep us alive. Drive 45.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. progress is healing the wound that's below, that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Ooh, we have a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. There's a battle going on the internet that y'all need to be aware of. Y'all really should be right by on your legislators. You need to be on your legislators. I believe, and I'm going to check. I believe Lacey Clay may be one of the legislators that you need to be on. I've got to check. But there's this thing going on called net neutrality. Net neutrality. Here's how the AT&T's and those folks want the internet to work now. I mean, from now on. They want the internet to be accessible by basically by how much money you can pay. For example, imagine, and I heard somebody who supports this using this example. Imagine, if you will. You pick up the phone. Now, I'm supposed to be able to call whoever I want to call, right? You pick up the phone and you ask for the number of Jerry's Pizza Parlor. And the phone company keeps you waiting for a couple minutes. And after a minute, they come on and say, okay, we will give you Jerry's Pizza Parlor's number in just a second. But in the meantime, would you like the number of Pizza Hut? Now, is that fair? Is that fair to Jerry's Pizza Parlor, that he's not as big as Pizza Hut? That's what net neutrality is all about. Right now, we pay, the citizens paid for, the government of the United States paid for the internet. So please tell me why. AT&T and these big boys and big, nah, and ain't no big girls, big boys out here, should determine that you have to pay a certain amount of money to get to what you want to get to. Right now, you can get, I can open up a little business on some server right now, or a big business, or a medium-sized business. If they have their way, we won't be able to do that. We won't be able to get, the internet won't be free access. Talk about China. Talk about censorship. This is a financial censorship. And I'm going to go check. I'm going to check, and I'm going to check in during my break. But I believe that, I believe Lacey voted against this net neutrality. I believe that he did. And phone calls need to be made. I'm going to check. But this is madness. The internet is the great equalizer. It is truly the great equalizer. Everybody has the ability to make some money off of the internet. And quite frankly, you cannot be they won't know where how much money you're worth. They won't know who your gender is unless you decide to tell them. They won't know what your ethnicity is unless you decide to tell them. The internet provides the opportunity for people to do great things. And what are the greedy, they don't know, the bottomless pit of greed. What are the telecoms out here trying to do? Find more ways to get your money. That's outrageous. It is outrageous. Y'all need to be raising some cane about this. And I'm going to give you the number in just a minute. I'm going to give you a number in just a minute. This is just, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. The United States is playing Ghana today in the World Cup. Go Ghana. Go Ghana. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Seven Marines and one sailor facing murder charges. Seven Marines, one sailor. Gunfight in a prison, Florida prison, kills two. Now, what do those two stories have in common? There is the thing that people worry about, citizens that understand the world that we live in. They understand that in this country, in this culture, there is a mentality that says, there's a mentality that exists, a mentality of brutality. Babies beaten to death on rooftops. Teeny tiny babies. And a wall of blue saying, that's the cost of doing business. Amadou Diallo shot to death. Too many bullet holes to count. Y'all need to understand that that's the cost of doing business. Citizens with baseball bats inserted into them. Y'all need to understand it's stressful for cops out here. There is a certain twisted understanding, a certain twisted defense, a certain explainable level of brutality. I say that there is no level of brutality that is explainable. There is no level. But there does exist in America a certain level of explainable brutality. Rodney King fought back. Of course they should have just beat the crap out of him. Understandable brutality. Didn't you see him? It was like watching the star of Batman. He can beat off 20 people at one time. Rodney King was flailing back. An understandable level of brutality. An acceptable level of brutality. They get the brutality benefit of the doubt. How twisted is that? Now, I've explained time and time again that those who engage in acts such as these acts of brutality, they can't, they won't confine it. You cannot. You can't hold your belly in. And the same goes with a nation that understands on some level, that believes on some level that there are acceptable levels of brutality. That understanding doesn't stop at the border of the East Coast, West Coast. Doesn't stop at the border of Mexico. We take this nation, that the part of this nation that believes in these acceptable levels of brutality, they export it just like they export sugar. So, when we send our troops to other nations in an occupying, as an occupier, and you add to that already existing understanding of levels of brutality, and you encourage that, you expand that. You already have the foundation. They have the foundation of understanding before their feet touch that 100 degree sand. The foundation was there to build upon. So, should we be surprised that 7 Marines and 1 sailor are facing murder charges? There's a little boy that was shot in the back by a cop named Eddie Sanchez. He had a briefcase full of throwdown weapons. Opened his brief, went through the trunk of his car after he shot and killed him to get one of his throwdown weapons. Just like these soldiers went and got a throwdown shovel and a throwdown AK-47 and laid it next to the man that they killed, that they murdered. Oh, there's going to be a defense, and the defense is going to be, y'all made us like this, y'all told us to do this. Sound familiar? Y'all don't understand how tough it is to be a cop out here. There's a certain level of understanding of brutality. A prison guard died in Florida. An FBI agent died in Florida in a gunfight. When the FBI agents came into a Florida prison to arrest the guards. What were the guards doing? I'm going to tell you that when we get back. We have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. Much to talk about. Stay with me.
travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
All right. You want your house to look good, right? Inside and out, right? You need to go to Sears. They have tractors. They have tools. They have washers. They have dryers. They have refrigerators. They have everything that you need to make your home into a palace. And you don't have to go to the mall to get it done. And they have deals at the Sears, at Union and Natural Bridge that they have no place else. So get your shop on. Get on down to Sears. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by JCPenney. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270 looks good. Northbound 55 at Richardson and 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44 is moving freely. Eastbound 40 between the Boone Bridge and 270, expect no delays. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, that traffic is building. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, the right lane's closed due to paving and traffic slows near 3rd Street. Eastbound 40 onto the PSB, paving operations have left center lane closed, so just use caution in those delays. Westbound 64 at 5570, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic on the Illinois Bank, it's starting to build, and northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, those ramps are starting to stack up as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by JCPenney. Get to the men's store at JCPenney and save 60% off the entire stock of shorts, swimwear, and sports shirts for men and young men. The men's store at JCPenney, sale ends June 25th. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today, this evening, and tomorrow. The highs today will be around 90. The lows this evening will be around 70. The highs on Friday should be around the 80-degree mark. On Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 77 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 79. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
None of us are free if one of us, any of us are chained. Come on. 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my number. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I want you all to feel the world that we're living in right now. I want you to just close your eyes and try to feel the world that we're living in right now, and in that connection to the world that we live in right now, in that connection, I want you to embrace your responsibility. Because this stuff is deep. And every aspect of the world that we're living in right now, here in the United States, is crying out for your participation, your activism. The House Republican leaders abruptly canceled a vote to renew the Voting Rights Act on Wednesday. Why? Because lawmakers said the civil rights measure unfairly singled out southern states and unnecessarily required ballots to be printed in foreign languages. Huh. Everything old is new again. The South is being singled out for its history of discrimination against black folks. Now, and I want you to feel me on this. It is meaningful when people... Oh, no, let me scratch that. When people show you who they are, believe them. I submit to you that the same Southern senators who said nothing to the resolution expressing regret for not having anti-lynching legislation. There were Southern senators that said, bump that. I ain't sorry. What's there to be sorry for? Why do we need anti-lynching legislation? Bump that. I submit to you that the same intolerant, bigoted United States senators that stood silent on that vote, their road dog Republican House members are saying the South has suffered enough. We don't need any stinking Voter Rights Act. Everything old is new again. Everything old is new again. Understand the world that you live in. In 1965, Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law. After Southern state criminally resisted, broke civil laws to resist and to engage in their race-hating lust. Didn't want black folks to vote. What the law did was it instituted a nationwide prohibition against voting discrimination based on someone's race. Back in 1965, they had poll taxes where you had to actually pay money in order to vote. In the South, they eliminated those. They had literacy tests. And they weren't literacy tests to see if you can read. They were literacy tests that to get you, to keep you from voting. And there were extra regulations put in places that had, where discrimination had been particularly profane. And what one of those requirements was for the Justice Department to review any proposed changes to voting procedures to judge if those changes in those southern states would be discriminatory. It's like a pre-clearance requirement. And given what has continued to happen in the South, well, what do they say? South will rise again, right? Good old boys will rise again, right? Everything old is new again, y'all. Y'all need to feel the world that you live in and understand that you have a role in it and a responsibility in it. There's stuff going on. There's stuff going on. And you need to be up in it. An opportunity for that is going to be provided to you on Saturday. On Saturday at the Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself, we're going to be showing a film called entitled Loose Change. What's loose change about? You think you know what happened? You don't think you know what went down on 9/11? No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to be there Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and watch that film and share in the discussion Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. The address, 1020 North Taylor, right off of Del Mar. It's one way to get there. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Taking a break.
Line in Chicago. Fat man in front of me. He's calling black people trash to his children. He's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him think that white wood's all they need. It's a hard life, a hard life, a very hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hatred, then the hard life's all that they'll know.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Another report has come out of Iraq concerning the death of two other American soldiers. Specialist Patrick McCaffrey and First Lieutenant Andre Tyson, both of California, were originally believed to have been killed in an ambush while on patrol near Balad in June of 2004. But now investigators have discovered that they were actually murdered by Iraq civil defense officers who were out on patrol with them. McCaffrey's mother told reporters that witnesses to the attack have relayed to her that the two patrolmen opened fire on the unit her son was in, and that a third armed man got out of another vehicle and climbed onto the patrol vehicle and also opened fire on everybody inside. McCaffrey joined the National Guard the day after the September 11th attacks, and he was promoted to sergeant posthumously. And Dateline Detroit. With all the troubles in the auto industry, it may surprise you to learn that there are actually more Americans making cars now than there were 25 years ago. The only thing is, a great deal of them are now working for Japanese and other foreign car makers that have built plants in the United States. Toyota is on the verge of beating out Daimler Chrysler for the number 3 title of automaker. But the foreign car makers are mostly non-union, and the wages and benefits are a long way from what UAW members get. Still, the head of the UAW is already on record as saying more givebacks to GM, Ford, and Chrysler will have to be made. Union membership once reached 1.5 million for the auto workers, but in 2006, it's dropped to just over 500,000. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Coming up Monday on the wake-up call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning wake-up call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, oh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen upon her throne. Was the sweet, sweet, sweetest thing I've known.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My name is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you, Charles Quincy Troop?
I'm doing good. Trying to catch up with you.
I understand.
I was listening to you talking about the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that accompanies now that currently exists is ex-felons in this country. Almost every southern state that I've looked at the legislation, if you're an ex-felon and it has nothing to do with the election or voter fraud or anything, you're not able to vote. You're disenfranchised for life. And Missouri is a little bit better, but our law is not as clear as it should be. Now, if 50% of the black population between the ages of 18 and 35 are under the control of probation, parole, and corrections, then that's 50% of the black men, let's say, theoretically, in the country that cannot vote. Right now, in every southern state, almost 80% of the prison population are black people, every one of them. And then they're using this as an excuse to deny them their right to vote, even though the crime might have been speeding or driving or drunk driving, or they might have been drunk or some kind of public violations or something, and they still cannot vote. So when you look at the growing number of black women, like in this state, almost 40% of the prison population are black women, and they're only 4.8% of the population, then that's 10 times roughly their rate of the population, and they too are being denied the right to vote because now black women are the target along with black men. So when we start talking about the voter rights, we need to also talk about the rights of ex-offenders to vote because that's a growing percentage of our total population, especially our adult population, who are eligible to vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a critical issue. Even the Democrats wouldn't touch it. They would not touch that issue, and that is an issue that would put them back in the ballgame, you know, in the political ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're saying you got a population of people, Liz, that you receive 95% of their vote, your best interest would be make sure that every one of them would have the right and access to the voting place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that's not a priority.
Well, and also, if we're going to talk about women in prison, I think it's important to bring up the story that's in the news today about the FBI agent that was shot to death by a guard and the guard that was killed by him. An FBI agent, if the FBI was going to this prison in Florida, it was one of those money-making prisons, a minimum security or medium security facility for women. Why was the FBI coming to this prison? Because the guards had made an industry, a sex trade, with these women prisoners. For drugs, for privileges, the male guards had made an industry out of an additional industry that the society is making off of putting women in jail for long periods of time for stupid things. Now there's an additional industry going on with the prison guards that are raping these women.
But Liz, that's going on here in Missouri. I introduced a bill here in Missouri back in the 90s that said that there's no such thing as consensual sex between the jailer and the inmate.
Just like there was no such thing as consensual sex between slavers and people they ain't masters, they're slavers.
Exactly.
And people that were enslaved.
The same thing. And in Missouri, we couldn't even get the bill out of the committee. Now, it's against the rules, but it's not against the law. In other words, correctional workers in Missouri have sex on a daily basis with the female inmate.
And the thing about it is that then It's commentary on our society that we have to have, we should only have women guards, guarding women, women that are incarcerated.
Well, you know, that would never happen. Mm. But I'm just saying, they do this on a daily basis. It's not against the law, but it's against the correction department rules and regulations. Mm. But they do it every day, and they do it with immunity.
And an FBI agent is dead, and a prison guard is dead because of that.
Well, you know, but the women in jail, especially in Missouri, they've been abused for years. Years, I'm telling you, years. And we've been complaining about it. I complained so much, Liz, they took the corrections budget out of my budget because I was holding that budget to try to force changes in those jails.
Mm.
And these were the Democrats.
Got a roll, Quince.
Okay.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, I took all my complaints and put them in my book and waiting on the book to come out around October, but I think they're going to shoot us down by then. But the book is about the right to vote. You don't have a right to vote in this country. You got a right for someone else to vote for you, but you don't have a right to vote.
I don't understand what you're saying, Andrew.
I'm saying that I don't have a right to vote. My voting rights has been sanctioned. Where I'm saying I have a right, but I really don't. So what I'm saying is I don't have any voting human rights until I make a complaint and get my rights back. Okay? You have to fight for your rights in this country. That ought to be against the law right there. We're having a problem with the laws. The laws that you cannot vote on, personally.
All right, Andrew. Thanks for that thought. It ought to be against the law that you have to fight for your rights. That's deep. That's deep. Oh, it ought to be against the law that you have to fight for your rights. That's deep. That is truly, truly, truly deep. I guess it should. But it's not. I got to remind you all, you need to come on out on Saturday at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. Why? The Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and myself are going to be showing a film. We're going to be showing a film. Viewing a film. Dissecting a film. What's it called? Loose Change. Loose Change is a film that was on the internet. They took it off because they didn't want you to see it. It's back up. But they took it off. You think you know what happened on 9/11? No, you don't. You need to come on down to the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. Urban Institute, Saturday morning at 9 a.m., 1020 North Taylor. I'll see you there Saturday morning. Until then, I'm going to take a break, and I'll be back with Eye on the Loo with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers of resistance.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A toast to democracy in Budapest, Hungary. President Bush drawing parallels between the bloody revolt against communist rule there and the current situation in Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton traveling with the president.
Powerful Hungarian troops on horseback greeted President Bush at Sandor Castle. This one-day visit is drenched in symbolism. Hungary struggled to establish a democracy 50 years ago and has staunchly supported U.S. efforts to begin a democracy in Iraq.
The bodies of Christian Menchaca and Thomas Tucker, the U.S. soldiers who were brutally murdered after being kidnapped while on patrol in Iraq, are to arrive today at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. In Madras, Oregon, Tucker's mother, Margaret, says there was no talking her son out of the military.
I said, but Tom, the Army, this was wartime. He said, Mom, I want to do this. And there was no talking him out of it at all.
Murder charges against seven Marines and a sailor being held at Camp Pendleton, California. Prosecutors allege they abducted and then shot and killed an Iraqi man and then made it look like he was an insurgent. This Korean War vet in Houston reacting.
If you talk to the average American, he'll tell you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We can't win a war with these fanatics by babying them. Who cares what the rest of the world thinks?
Servicemen could face the death penalty if convicted. Yesterday's deadly firefight at a federal prison in Florida shouldn't have happened, say authorities. A prison guard packing his own gun is blamed for the volley of fire that left the suspect and a federal investigator dead, with a second guard wounded. Agents had come to the prison to arrest six guards accused of trading drugs, money, and alcohol for sex with female inmates. This is ABC News.
I want the world to know it. I am sleeping, people. Really sleeping. Aches and pains aren't keeping me up, and I owe it all to new Advil PM. That's because new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd write it in the sky, but I'm busy getting my beauty rest.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
From ABC News headquarters in New York, I'm Charles Gibson.
Charles Gibson. He's been there, seen it, brought us the world.
Good evening from Dublin, Ireland.
Paris.
From Saudi Arabia.
Oklahoma City. Israel. Hong Kong.
The deck of the USS Enterprise, live at sea.
In times of crisis, times of change, he never backed down. In times like these, it's important to trust the source. Charles Gibson, one of the most respected names in news, now anchor. ABC's World News Tonight, your trusted source.
Paying to sail through airport security, maybe not such a good idea, say some aviation groups. ABC's Jim Hickey with more.
They don't trust the Trusted Traveler program. USA Today reports the Air Transport Association says a special security checkpoint for pre-screened passengers who pay for the privilege would drain limited airport resources. Another group of airport directors says smaller airports don't have room for such a thing. And they all are taken aback by a recent government disclosure. Airports would be charged up to $300 an hour for each registered traveler checkpoint lane. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
In Houston, a judge ruled that railroad killer Angel Resendez is mentally competent to be executed next week, despite his claims that he's half man, half angel. Resendez, linked to at least 15 murders across the country, is scheduled to be put to death Tuesday for a 1998 killing of a Texas doctor. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, authorities are investigating the drowning of a boy at a North County apartment complex swimming pool. The 4-year-old child was pulled from the water last night at the Raintree Apartments in Spanish Lake. He was taken to an area hospital where he later died. His name hasn't been released. The man charged with the murder of a Clemson University student from Ladue is indicted on more charges in Tennessee. According to the Greenville News, Jerry Buck Inman was indicted yesterday on aggravated rape and aggravated burglary charges in an attack on a Sevierville, Tennessee woman. Inman is charged with murder, kidnapping, and first-degree criminal sexual conduct in the May 26 death of Tiffany Sowers. He also faces charges of attempted rape in Alabama. Local Catholic school teachers are asking for more protections from the St. Louis Archdiocese. Members of the Association of Catholic Elementary Educators will be at St. Louis Archdiocese headquarters today. They'll try to deliver to Archbishop Raymond Burke a casebook showing mistreatment of Catholic elementary school teachers by school administrators. Finally this hour, tomorrow marks the start of the St. Louis Jazz and Heritage Festival. Cynthia Prost, the Executive Director of Cultural Festivals, says David Sanborn and Dr. John are among the acts performing this year.
You can expect 2 days of nonstop musical performances by national and local and regional acts on 3 stages, lots of food and beverage, lots of activities for the children, and just a really good time.
The event runs from 4 to 10 p.m. on Friday and from 2 to 10 p.m. on Sunday at Shaw Park. Admission is $20 for the whole day. For more information, log on to www.stlouisjazzfestival.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by JCPenney. Get to the men's store at JCPenney and get 60% off the entire stock of shorts, swimwear, and sports shirts for men and young men. The men's store at JCPenney. Sale ends June 25th. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. In both directions, 170 at Forest Park Parkway and Ladue, there's construction. Left lane's closed. Southbound is slowing near Del Mar. Northbound is slowing near Forest Park Parkway. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270 looks good. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way to Canal Bridge. Traffic building as you approach the bridge. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of Gravoy and then all slow again around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 40 from Spirit of St. Louis Airport to Boone's Crossing. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes. 79, look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. Paving operations have the right lane closed and traffic slows near 3rd Street. Eastbound 40 on the PSB. Traffic paving operations have the left center lanes closed. Westbound 40 at 5570. Westbound Kingbridge traffic. Northbound Route 3. And westbound Eadsbridge traffic as well as westbound Kingbridge. Look for slow traffic this hour rolling into the bridge. Into the downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. I-44 from Route 109 west to Pacific is a travel safe zone due to construction. Buckle up, pay attention, and slow down. Tickets are issued in the I-44 safe zone because we want you to arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today and tomorrow, look for showers and thunderstorms likely both days as well as this evening. The high today should be around 90. The low this evening should be around 70. Friday's high should be in the lower 80s, still with rain possible. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 79. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you discuss? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you discuss?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
another train of progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting. Hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knockdown.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown, and I am here with, as always, Irene J. Smith. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm here. I'm here. Good morning, listening audience.
And I think we kind of have a smorgasbord of things to discuss this morning. We're going to be going from the city. We're going to be going to Jeff City. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. We're going to take a trip to the police department. We have much business to attend to this morning. Where would you like to begin?
Liz, you know, I heard you this morning, you were talking about what I call kind of police state,
mm-hmm.
and how people are trained and the defense that the military would be using. And it was always this notion of, you know, who controls this entity,
mm-hmm.
who pays for this entity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us smack dab right down to the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri in terms of the police department. You know, many of us have talked about local control, and you know, people say, well, they ride around, of course, say the city of St. Louis Police Department, but we don't control our police department. We just pay for it.
And explain that so that people understand that how what happens here is pretty much different than any other municipality in the United States.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In the city of St. Louis in Kansas City, the police department is controlled by virtue under Missouri Revised Statute, section 84.020. And basically what that says is that the Board of Police Commissioners shall be appointed by the governor and basically control the police department. That does not mean us, because no one locally appoints the Board of Police Commissioners. And in view of some legislation that we'll talk about later, that has been passed in Jefferson City, that's going to give even less oversight, I believe, in terms, particularly in terms of the money that is spent.
Mm-hmm. So we don't pick our police commissioners. By we, I mean the city of St. Louis does not pick the commissioners or the people that sit on the police board. Jefferson City does.
That's correct.
The city of St. Louis doesn't decide or doesn't have any control over the money involves the paying for the police department. Jefferson City controls that.
Pretty much, because, I mean, they will say, well, the Board of Police Commissioner has to come in to the Ways and Means Committee, has to go to the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, which is composed of the mayor, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and the comptroller. And then, of course, that budget has to be approved by the Board of Aldermen. But basically, with respect to the police budget, there's not much in reality that we can do in terms of reeling it in? I mean, it already takes up more than a third of our budget.
A third of the city's budget?
No, more than a third.
More than a third of the city's budget.
Right, and we're not talking about public safety. We're talking about the police department.
Distinguish.
Public safety would include the fire department, the building division, other public safety type things that would be looking out for the protection of the public, so to speak.
Over one third of the budget is just for the police department.
Yes.
And we don't control that.
No, we don't.
So what else are you here to talk to us about, then? There's something else that has happened.
A lot of things that, as you know, we talked about earlier in the year. Back in March, I believe it was March or April, the Board of Police Commissioners decided on last year to allow police officers not to be required to live in the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was this year, there was this kind of little debacle between the mayor and the new board with Chris Goodson, who was the chairman of the board, saying, well, let's take that up with respect to civilian employees, because the original decision only impacted uniformed police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we have the board say, okay, we're gonna go on a fact-finding mission, and we're gonna have board meetings in the evening when they ought to be in the evening anyway, but that's another discussion. Starting in South St. Louis last night, the Board of Police Commissioners, I guess at the local police community affairs meeting, they wanted to hear input from the community in terms of the issue of residency.
But I guess the community has already spoken on this, hasn't it?
The community has spoken on it more than 70%, I think it was 79%, 78%, voted on a non-binding referendum saying that we wanted local control. We wanted to have our police in the city of St. Louis.
Consider this, Irene. Consider this. Do you think that the police department is doing what Republicans tend to do, or the Police Officers Association doing what Republicans tend to do, attempt to keep down the vote of black people? How can we change the outcome of that non-binding referendum of overwhelming majority of the city of St. Louis said, we want our cops to live in the city? How do we change that? Well, maybe if we introduce another resolution after the requirements, this voter ID bill passes, so that fewer people can vote on this referendum.
There you go. And it's real interesting. It's my understanding that last night at the meeting, it was packed, mm-hmm. you know, with police officers and their family members.
Did you get
members.
A notification of this?
No, there was a press release, I think, sent out maybe 24 hours or 48 hours before the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's my understanding it was a predominantly a Caucasian audience.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly, you know, police officers and their supporters who want to move out of the city, saying that we have bad schools. Crime is up. Isn't that something? Crime is up.
But it's not my fault. But pay me to keep crime down. It's not my fault that crime is up. And allow me to move out of the city where crime is up, but allow me to continue to take a paycheck from that city where apparently I'm not doing my job.
Exactly.
Is that right?
That's a pretty good analysis. And it's my understanding there were several elderly, and they happen to be Caucasian, women that stood up and said, you know, we think the police, I feel more safe. Booed.
They eat their own. They booed little old white ladies.
Yes.
They booed their mamas and their
I mean,
and
you
their...
know, what is this about respect? You
they
know,
booed little old white ladies.
Shut up and sit down. You're not taking our position, so shut up and sit down.
They booed little old white ladies.
Because she happened to have an opinion that was different than the agenda that was being actually pushed.
Actually, an opinion that was consistent with 70% of the people that voted. And
Almost 80%.
And this, mind you, this is with a police effort to... There was a lot of campaigning that went on to get people to vote no on that bill.
Exactly.
I mean, they worked hard on that, on that piece of legislation, that resolution. And they worked hard on that, and it didn't work.
And you know,
Wait a minute. They booed a little old white lady. They booed their grandmama.
They booed grandmama. They booed their grandmother. Because she had a different, she's, you know,
they
feeling like we,
grandma.
People who pay for your salary, you know, you should live in the city of St. Louis. We pay for your salary. And besides, I feel more safe with you all living in the community.
Boo! Shut up! Sit down, grandma! Ain't nobody trying to hear you. They booed their own.
They booed their own.
The disrespect. Now, what I've always said on the show, when people show you who they are, believe them. And secondly, people that are that energy of that that particular police energy is, from my perspective, it's a lawless energy. And a lot of folks would believe that that lawlessness is directed only at a certain segment of the population, people that look like you or people that look like me. And the fact of the matter is, if you are lawless, you're an equal opportunity. Now, you may get to other folks quicker and more frequently, but you're going to get to everybody with your lawlessness. People should really understand what this police, what this energy is coming at them if they're going to boot a grandmama.
Yes. It's a very dangerous, and one of the reasons that I've been an opponent of doing away with the residency rule, I've always been a proponent of supporting residency because I did a lot of research back in the day, and it seemed like as the residency rule was removed, you had this notion of almost like you have in Iraq, you have an occupied force.
There you go.
And that's the mentality of the individuals that patrol our community when they are not connected to our community have. And to me, that's very frightening.
And then the other piece to connect to this whole residency issue is the idea of being able to, if you don't have to live in the city, then they start to pull from all kinds of people out there that also have that occupation belief and occupation mindset when they come to the city of St. Louis. So not only are we having people within the city of St. Louis that have that occupation mindset, we're going to be pulling people from Jefferson County that have the same type of occupation mentality, and none of us are well served by that kind of mentality.
Not at all. It's amazing. You know, we know that legislation was introduced by State Representative Yaphet El Amin to have local control of the police department. The legislation did not passed. I don't even think it received a committee hearing.
But something did pass.
We had legislation that was introduced. I believe that legislation was introduced by Senator Kennedy. Senate Bill, 1086. And it was supported by
pretty much everybody, it looked like.
Okay, that's the...
Oh, that's 1045. Okay.
That's on the consent from the House, the vote on that.
Okay.
With this bill.
Mm-hmm.
But basically all of the senators for the city of St. Louis supported this. Kennedy, Daugherty, and Senator Coleman.
So tell us about this bill. Tell us about this bill.
Basically what 1086 does, it repeals the provision that gives a maximum compensation tables, you know, maximum compensation that police officers can be paid.
Okay, break it down in English.
Mm-hmm. In English, the legislature, the state legislature, sets the standards of pay, what you can be paid, depending on your rank. The legislature makes that determination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what this Senate bill does, it repeals that and says you no longer have to, Board of Police Commissioners, you no longer have to come to the state legislature to get approval or authorization for your pay schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that yourself.
But when you say you can do that yourself, who's the you that's doing it for themselves? Is the mayor of the city of St. Louis, considering the fact that the police budget is one, or the police department, what the police department costs us over one third of our budget, does the mayor of the city of St. Louis decide those pay scales?
The mayor is a member of the Board of Police Commissioners.
Right.
No,
okay.
He does not.
Okay.
The Board of Police Commissioners, without prior authorization from the state legislature, as of August the 28th of this year, will be able to establish the annual salaries for St. Louis police officers.
Is this a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing.
And say why.
And for this reason. First of all, where is the check and balance in terms of the salary? At least if it had to go through the legislature, there could have been some input in terms of whether or not the salaries were off base.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, you have the Board of Police Commissioners basically saying, okay, this is what we think we ought to pay our people, and not really going through an appropriation process like other governmental departments have to go through.
So, for example, like we have the Board of E&A, where there's the president of the Board of Aldermen, the comptroller, and the person from the mayor's office sitting on this body of three.
Mm-hmm.
Budget comes to them. They decide, they vote on whether or not this particular budget is going to go through. Is there a vetting process like that for this? And again, considering that this is one-third, over one-third of our budget, our city budget, where is the city input on this?
Now, they will tell you, I don't think there is. Now, they will say, well, yes, it is, because it has to go to the Board of E&A. But basically, we're bound to pass their budget,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there is, to me, there is not sufficient checks and balances. We have very little control.
What would be a check and balance?
The check and balance would be if we had local control, that they had to submit a budget just as every other city department has.
They submit to who?
Submit a budget to
the police department.
The police department, police department submit a budget to the Board of E&A.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the Board of E&A passes the budget, that budget goes to the Ways and Means Committee of the Board of Aldermen.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would hold hearings, determine whether or not there should be cuts from the budget or whatever. And then the full Board of Aldermen would have to actually pass the appropriation legislation. The St. Louis Board of Police, the St. Louis Police Department does not really have to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
They come, I mean, they go through the motions, but technically, you know, the state statute says that we're obligated to pay for the police department even though we don't control it.
Okay, so this is, because I've heard on the news that we now have, in fact, the man-child, Matt Blunt, is saying that we think that the city of St. Louis should have local control over their what they pay their officers. We're giving local control to the city of St. Louis. That's not.
That's not, because the local governmental body did not select the members of the Board of Police Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
The governor did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's particularly interesting in view of a decision that was made by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeal yesterday regarding the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners, that basically said that the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners is not a state entity and therefore is not immune from lawsuits. And there was a lawsuit, I think, that was filed by a woman for police brutality or something to that extent. And I think the Board of Police Commissioners, the police department, had raised the issue of being protected by virtue of the 11th Amendment. So that's going to be interesting. I haven't had an opportunity to read the entire decision,
mm-hmm.
just read a news account of what the decision actually says. But it's going to be interesting to see.
So they can be sued.
They can be sued.
They can be sued. They are not protected by immunity.
Right.
They can be sued.
Right.
Okay. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU is our number. There's also an opportunity for you Friday, June 23rd at 11:30 to 12:30 at St. Louis City Hall. That's Market and Tucker, Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse. There will be you need to be there. There will be a statement made, and citizens will be gathering there to comment on the anniversary of the Kelo decision. That's where they failed to limit the use of eminent domain, and they allow homes and businesses to be taken by private developers for economic gain. Let your voice be heard Friday. Join them as they gather in front of the St. Louis City Hall against eminent domain. That's Friday at 11:30. And don't forget, Saturday, Urban Institute. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to show a film, and it's called Loose Change. You think that you know what happened on 9/11? No, you don't. And the reason we're showing this film is because, Irene, because we need people to understand that there are forces outside of us that are trying to make decisions about our life, and another reason to get involved in this in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday at 9 o'clock, the address is 1020 North Taylor, 1020 North Taylor, 9 o'clock. Join us as we review this film and continue our homework assignments as
yes,
well.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else will you find washers and dryers, refrigerators and stoves? That's for the inside of your house. You will also find all of the things you need for the outside of your house. Lawnmowers, tools, barbecue pits. They have everything that you need to make the outside of your home just as wonderful as the inside of your home, or vice versa. So get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. Get your shop on. They have great deals, great customer service, and best of all, a great location. Sears, where else?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Listen to the How Good God Is radio broadcast with Pastor Charles Hilton every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at WGNU Radio 920 AM dial.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge. Traffic building as you approach the bridge. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for congestion going on there. Eastbound 40 is slow through Maryville Center. Westbound 5570 onto the PSV. Right lane's closed due to paving operations. Traffic's back up through 3rd Street. Eastbound 40 at the PSV. Left center lane is closed due to paving operations as well. Westbound 64 onto the 5570 looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Illinois Bank to Cleves Landing. Look for slight delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those ramps are a little slow this hour. Westbound East Bridge is slow as you enter into downtown. And Hillsboro at Lockmore, look for an injury accident. That's in Franklin County. And southbound 141 at Fielder, there's a report of an injury accident as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They visit your house for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For free inspection, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today and tomorrow, look forward to showers and thunderstorms both days. High today will be around 90. This evening, the low will be around 70. Friday, the high will be in the lower 80s. Then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 80. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Irene J. Smith and Liz with Eye on the Lou. That's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track.
At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Irene J. Smith, of course. Irene, do you mind if we step just a little bit, or was there something else that you wanted to finish with?
No, it's something. I mean, we did get a call off the air. We're not going to discuss this. It's a little involved, but we will break that down, too, later. But I did want to get to the other.
Let's go to Washington, D.C., if you don't mind. Last week, the House of Representatives passed the COPE Act, and it will turn open and free information regulations, and it will turn the free and open information regulations that we have that force cable companies and telephone companies that serve poor people and minority areas, it will change that. The internet will no longer be open and free. And what is interesting about that, because what we're talking about is, and I talked a little bit about this in the last hour. Imagine, because right now everybody has equal access to the internet, right? I mean, anybody can go anywhere and anything. Right now, with the vote of this House, and it has to go to the Senate, but with the vote of the House. Imagine if you were to call the phone company, you'd say, let me have the number for Joe's Pizza Parlor. Joe's Pizza Parlor, little pizza parlor down the street. They get back on the phone with you and say, well, we haven't found Joe's number yet, but would you like the number to Pizza Hut? Whose advantage? I mean, so the big corporations have access, would have access within the internet with this law. I was surprised and hugely disappointed that the conscience of the United States House of Representatives, the Black Caucus, their vote on this, and in particular, Lacey Clay's vote
on this. Our congressman supported this.
He supported this. He voted on behalf of the telecommunications folks. Lacey Clay was one of the congresspeople that said, and this is big money speaking. This is big money keeping stuff from the little guy. This is anti-progressive. This is pro-business. This is, and particularly for Black folks, from my perspective, that the internet is a great equalizer.
It really is.
You know, I mean, anybody can start a business. Anybody can start a business on the internet. And given the fact that there's so many racist barriers put up for Black folks in off the internet, in the hardline world, it is really, really problematic that we would have a Black person, and particularly our congressman, voting on the side of the big business.
I mean, one of the reasons why we're able to provide us a great deal of the information
Absolutely.
That we is because of the access to the internet. So if that is shut down because you can't pay or because it costs for each time you go to a particular site, if you're charged, I think it's a three-tiered
that's
thing.
That's right, a three-tiered thing.
Three-tiered thing. And then you have our representative, you know, Congressman Clay, because I live in the 1st Congressional District, and most of the people that I know do. And then he's voting for this.
He's voting for this. He's voting on the side of big. He voted on the side of big business for this, and it's now going to the. And there's no reason for him to do that. There's absolutely no reason for our congressperson to vote on an issue that reduces. I mean, reduces our access to the internet. This is truly a purely big business vote. And I hope that the reason that this was voted in this way, because there's a disdain for black folks thinking that black folks are not going to be involved in this issue, that they're not going to get upset about the internet, that's not going to be something that my constituents are going to give me a call about. Yes, you do need
yes,
to get,
do.
Give the congressman a call about that, because that's outrageous.
It's really an outrageous vote. And it shuts down your ability to get information.
That's right.
And it also shuts down your ability to know what he's doing see what he's doing, how he's voting on issues, as well as our other state officials. As I said, it is so great that the internet exists, that we can go to the internet, we can listen to live debate in the House.
That's right. And it would be and if this legislation is passed, it's really difficult to really define breakdowns of all of our elected officials' votes. They make it hard for us to do
that. Yes, they do.
So the idea that now we have access, we can hear the words coming out of their mouth, it's going to cost more for that. It potentially will cost more for things like that. And that's not right. We've already paid the government, the United States. Think of all of the breaks that we have given these telecommunications. I mean, you've been on the board of aldermen. You saw them when they came in, the cable companies coming in, all of the breaks that they got to make money off of us for access to us.
Right. We pay them to use our airwaves.
There you go.
Okay. We pay them to use, underground fiber optic, all of this. We pay for it.
And they make billions of dollars off of it.
Now, our congressman has voted to basically shut down access for you.
That's right.
And I.
That's right.
You know, because we have no idea what the charges are going to be.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, sometimes charges, so much we were talking about at the Institute, you know, senior citizens, okay, you can go to the library, you can get your free internet account. The question becomes whether or not that's going to be possible as a result of this legislation.
Exactly. Why do they need more money? Why do they, and again, the internet is the one place that is truly the great equalizer. A library closes. Okay, the internet is open 24 hours a day. It is truly the great equalizer. Let me get to a couple of callers here. Let's do this. Greg, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Outstanding.
Good. I was calling with the report for the state representatives and how they voted on eminent domain this past legislative session.
Go right ahead.
All right. One of the things that happened with the Kelo decision, we'll be marking that tomorrow at City Hall.
We just thought about that. You said you were going to tell us about how they voted,
right,
Greg.
Right.
Come on, get that in because we got some more callers, dear.
Okay, all right. Well, the Citizens Coalition spent considerable time this past legislative session and trying to get elected officials to vote against House Bill 1944.
The Hobbs Bill. Mm-hmm.
Yes, which only protected the rural people. In the urban core, the people are still left unprotected in terms of eminent domain.
So
the
how did our legislature
voted against the bill? They are Representative Jeanette Oxford. She receives an A. Representative Tom George. He receives an A. And Representative Ella Mean. She receives a C. Now, and she receives a C because she voted against the bill when it came back for final passage.
She
all
voted it out of committee.
State representatives voted for the bill.
And so that includes Representative Amber Barkins.
It does.
Okay, so she voted for the Hobbs bill that offered no protection to the urban community and urban homeowners and business owners.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Then she would get an F.
She gets an F. All of the other ones receive an F. Because they voted.
So that would include Connie Johnson?
That includes Connie Johnson.
So Connie Johnson gets an F?
She gets an F.
Rodney Hubbard gets an F?
Gets an F.
Ted Hoskin gets an F?
Gets an F.
All right.
All right.
Representative Elamin gets a C because she voted it out of committee. Actually, she switched her vote.
She switched her vote, yes. Okay. She voted for it initially when it passed through the House, but then on final passage, she voted.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
All right.
Thanks for that update. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to gather on this issue of eminent domain, Friday, June 23rd at 11:30 at City Hall. For more information, call Eugene Fowler at 385-4262, 385-4262. And I want to give you all an opportunity on our way out here to break. There's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you on Saturday, the Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program. You can come out to AfroWorld at 7276 Natural Bridge, June 24th. That's this Saturday from 3 to 5. Watch our babies. This is a wonderful program where these young people started their own businesses. They learned a business plan. They learned all of the things that business ethics and marketing. And we had them on the program, or we talked about this on the program. Now that they have come up with their own businesses. And if you want to sign your children up to be part of the Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program to teach them how to start their own business, you need to come on out to AfroWorld, 7276 Natural Bridge, this Saturday from 3 to 5. For more information, call 869-4222. That's 869-4222. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Loo. Stay with us.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. The Washington Post is reporting that last year, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had to give testimony to investigators from the Inspector General's Office of the Defense Department regarding the wasting of $30 billion used to lease several hundred new aircraft tankers that even the military said it did not need. Even odder was the fact that when Rumsfeld was asked to raise his hand and swear to tell the truth on the matter, the first thing he said was, quote, "I find it strange that the laws apply to me," unquote. Not a lot of useful testimony was gleaned, as the secretary said he didn't know why the order was placed. He blamed the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, loose procedures, and, of course, I can't recall. The Defense Department has a budget of just over $400 billion, not counting the appropriations for the wars. One-fifth of that amount is used to buy new weaponry. The investigation reveals that the way the Defense Department buys its weaponry is disjointed, illogical, and needs to be fixed. The Comptroller General's office says a look at some 50 weapon systems indicates they're going to cost $850 billion, with about a third of that figure being cost overruns. And what happens is that they are constantly revamped, or they wind up being dropped after money is spent on them for years. In 2004, the Air Force canceled the plan to lease the tanker planes from Boeing after a number of improprieties were revealed. One of the procurement officers for the Air Force wound up getting a job with Boeing and managed to manipulate that contract as well as others. She later went to prison over it. The head of Boeing also resigned as a result, and the company had to pay back $615 million. That's the largest penalty ever paid by a defense contractor. This is your wake-up call global news update.
This is Mark Kinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, volunteer leader, or head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that matter to you. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising.
You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Lord, if we could say what we would say off the air, let's get to some of these callers here. Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liz Brown and Irene J.
Hey, Mr. Chuck, how are you?
I'm confused.
Welcome to the club.
Hello, you there?
Yes.
I want both of you all's reaction to this 60th. Representative district race, or is it correctly called congressional?
State race.
I see Jamila walking the street, knocking on doors, hustling, in essence. I see no sign of Sims. I see no sign of Messiah. What's up with this?
I think that the race goes to the person that's working the hardest on it, don't you?
Well, that's one race I'm not confused about, Chuck. I wholeheartedly support Jamila Nasheed. She's out there. She started out with a survey trying to find out the issues that are pertinent to her community. Mm-hmm. She's been going to meetings. She's been out front on every issue, A, B, C, or D. Mm-hmm. She wasn't at home somewhere hiding, not taking a position. She was out front on that issue.
Well, wait a minute. I want to be fair to Mr. Sims. I think that we're not being fair to him because
No.
He's taken some issues. He's taken issue to the fact that we are at the Urban Institute every Saturday morning. He's taken issue to that.
We should not be there because we're providing information to our community.
Yeah,
so I guess you are being fair about that. But, you know, Jamila's out there every day. She's out there in the rain.
I see her.
Out there in the rain, knocking on doors and talking to people. She is actually trying to get people to know who she is, what she is about. And she is visible, and I think we talked about what you look for in a candidate, and visibility, someone who is grounded, someone who understands issue. She's young, she's energetic, and she has come such a very long way. She has had a business in our community, worked very hard, and so to me, I'm not confused. I'm very clear on the issue, and to me, Jamila should have the support of individuals who live in the 60th legislative district.
Okay.
And Chuck, you're not confused either.
Yeah.
You just play.
Liz, what happened to Frontline?
I watched it.
Look for it. Must have come on Tuesday.
I got the email from them that it was coming on last night.
I couldn't find it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right. I'm gonna call somebody. I'll call and talk to somebody and find out what happened. Okay.
Okay, and then if you find out, see if it's going to be shown again.
And I'm sure. I'm sure it will, but probably won't.
All right.
I'll let you know, Chuck.
Thank both of you.
Okay, that was the dark side, a piece about Dick Cheney. Let me get to line two. Yes.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Juice will set you free. Good morning, Miss Smith.
Good morning. Ms. Sounds like Andre.
No, I'm not Andre.
Okay, I'm sorry, dear.
I'm the other caller, Miss Brown. Another caller from Miss Brown. But Miss Brown and Miss Smith, the truth will set you free. Miss Smith, I would like for you to do if you can give us an update on the Baptist building in the eminent domain. And Miss Smith, could you also tell us what ward does that sit in? And does the alderman call the alderman person's name, Miss Smith? It was the alderman of. Helpful to you, Miss Smith, or was she or he a hindrance to you? And Miss Brown, would you also let us know if there's going to be a lawsuit filed for the photo ID bill? Thank you. You both have a nice day.
Thank you. Thank you. The Baptist building is currently located in the 5th Ward. We lost that battle with respect to the Baptist building. It's in the process of being demolished. The 5th Ward was... April Ford Griffin. April was running herself for office at that time. You know, I believe the position that she took was basically helpful to me, even though she didn't actually endorse me. And I have to say, I was told that I would crack the whip on Greg, and Greg knows I love him. But we had to get that information out.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. I'm sorry, you're on Eye on the Loop.
Voter ID bill, is there going to be lawsuits?
I don't know yet.
Right.
They're still struggling with that. They are still trying to come up with lawyers, and the Democratic Party is trying to work with the NAACP. The lawsuit has not been filed yet, but they say that they are working on it.
Right.
John.
Good morning. How
yes.
are you?
How are you?
Two things about that police board meeting last night. First one, you know, on residency, they said they're going to hold three public meetings. And, you know, it sounds fair on paper, one in the south, one in the north, and one centrally located. Well, the next meeting, I guess, is the centrally located meeting, and that's in Soulard. So it doesn't seem to me that they're going to really...
Wait, hold up, John. A centrally located meeting... And the meeting is going to take place in Soulard?
That's what it says.
Have they picked a date yet, John?
Let's see. I don't have that in front of me. It's the third Wednesday in July.
Okay.
So the one in North St. Louis is going to be when?
That's going to be in August.
The fourth. Okay, that'll be in August.
Right. And
in
so,
Soulard.
You know, I don't think they're really trying to get a representative sampling. I think you tend to, you know, hear what you want to hear type of thing.
And did they pick a location yet for the North meeting?
If they have, I don't know what it is. They just announced one meeting ahead.
And did you attend the meeting, John?
I did. I was there last night.
What was your observation of what this, and for the listening audience, this is a meeting that the police board held on this right? The police board, or was it the Police Officers Association?
No, this is the police board.
Police board on residency, on the issue
right.
of whether or not the cops should have to live in the city of St. Louis. John, and before you get to your observation, I mean, we have about three more minutes left. Where did this come from? If the city of St. Louis has already voted on this issue and 70% said that they want the police to live in the city, what's the energy behind raising this issue again?
Well, the police board opened the door a few months ago when they voted to make some exceptions to the rule regarding civilian employees because they said they were having trouble getting people for highly technical positions, and so they made an exception. And then that opened the door for passing an amendment to that, which opened the door for all civilian employees to leave. And frankly, the mayor... it was passed at the police board and then squashed by the mayor because he hadn't been at that meeting and hadn't been able to vote against it. And so he squashed it and said, you've got to revisit this issue. So now they're going through the motions of revisiting it. But it's very clear they've already voted on the issue and it will be passed that all the civilian employees can leave.
Mm.
It's just a matter now of going through some formalities to satisfy objections to how it went through the first time.
So John, you said the meeting that's going to be that is saying that it's centrally located is supposed to be in Soulard.
That's right.
And
yep.
They just had a meeting in South St. Louis, and I've been going to Soulard ever since I was a kid. Soulard is located in South St. Louis.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, it is.
So where? What happened at the meeting last night? Because we only have 2 minutes left. John.
Okay. Well, just very briefly, I think you raised a very important issue about the booing. I thought it was just really horrible that these people who stood up and disagreed with the majority point of view, majority meaning who was at that meeting, these people were roundly booed, and the police board did nothing to stand up and say, let's have some decorum here. I just thought it was highly inappropriate.
Mm.
And the other thing was they took some actions on civilian review as well, which were just fascinating. You know, the police board had been found out that the bill for civilian review had been changed. 13 changes were made, not in a public setting, which is a violation of the Sunshine Law, and that was found out. So they clarified the issue last night by revoting on three of those changes. And the other 10, the police board president said to me, oh, yeah, I looked at all the 13 changes, and I decided it was covered if we just dealt with these three. And so the other 10 are not, still completely unchanged and unauthorized. And then the minutes had been incorrect. They had falsely reported what amendments were to that bill. They didn't bother to change the minutes either. They didn't think that was necessary.
John, got to let you go. Thanks for your call. Irene J. Smith, Urban Institute, Saturday.
Loose change.
Loose change. Be there. 9 o'clock. You think you know what went down in 9/11? No, you don't. This Saturday at 9 o'clock. The address is 1020 North Taylor. I will see you there. I will see you there. Irene J. Smith?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. I'll be back. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. 7 Marines and a sailor in a fight for their lives, accused of kidnapping a disabled Iraqi civilian, tying him up, putting him in a hole, and then shooting him to death. The 8 men being held at Camp Pendleton, California, are charged with premeditated murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy. They could face the death penalty if convicted. Erica Thomas, the wife of Marine Corporal Trent Thomas, one of the accused.
I felt nervousness in his voice and just, you know, reality hitting him. But, no, he's all smiles, and him and the guys, they're riding this through, and I think they'll come out okay with this.
Democrats in the Senate aren't expected to get very far with their push for timelines for returning U.S. forces. One proposal being debated today calls for complete withdrawal of U.S. troops by July of 2007. The other, a phased withdrawal. Republicans oppose both measures. Major General Joseph Phil at Fort Hood, Texas, where members of the 1st Cavalry are shipping out for Iraq in September. Families, he says.
They should be very, very proud of what their soldiers are doing. And we are very proud of the support that they're giving their soldiers.
And the bodies of Christian Menchaca and Thomas Tucker, the Army privates who were brutally killed after being kidnapped while on patrol in Iraq, are on their way home to Dover Air Force Base. President Bush in Hungary today, making a connection between that country's struggle for democracy and the current situation in Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton traveling with the president in Budapest.
President Bush paid his respects at a monument marking 50 years since the Hungarian Revolution was crushed by Soviet tanks. Now Hungary is among the most ardent supporters of democracy in Iraq.
I'm also here to confirm the friendship between Hungary and the United States.
President Bush will draw that Iraq parallel in a final speech overlooking the Danube. Ann Compton, ABC News, Budapest.
This is ABC News.
Right now, during Lowe's installation celebration, take care of your projects without taking away from your family time. Buy select over-the-range microwaves, window air conditioners, garage door openers, storm doors, or ceiling fans, and get Lowe's basic installation for only $59. Get 20% off all stain master carpet, plus free pad. Lowe's installs it. Ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more on your Lowe's consumer credit card now through July 9th. See store for details. Hurry to Lowe's and let us do the work. Your family will be glad you did. Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
It was 5 years ago, almost to the day, that Andrea Yates' 5 children were found dead, drowned in the family bathtub in Houston. Jury selection begins today in her retrial.
Even half a decade after the crime, nearly everyone in the city knows the details of the drownings of the Yates children, ages 6 months to 7 years. And most have an opinion about it.
Andrea Yates is a victim of an ignorant husband, a vicious criminal system.
I felt like it probably should have been a conviction the first time.
And it was, but after misstatements by a prosecution psychiatrist at her first trial, an appeals court ordered a new trial for Andrea Yates. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Houston.
Hundreds of firefighters trying to hold the line against that stubborn wildfire that's threatened homes in Sedona, Arizona. Governor Janet Napolitano.
This is a difficult fire because of the terrain and the location, but you've got a great Type 1 crew here working on it. You've got air assets here working on it.
Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour.
In the news this Thursday, dozens of residents of a St. Charles County retirement complex are looking for somewhere else to stay after a fire last night. The fire broke out around 8:30 last night at the Lake St. Charles complex off Prally Lane. One firefighter suffered minor injuries. Nearly 50 people had to be evacuated from the complex, and at least one of them was taken to the hospital. Investigators believe the fire started on an upper deck. The sale of the St. Louis Blues has the approval of the National Hockey League's Board of Governors. At its annual meeting yesterday, the board approved the sale of the team from Bill and Nancy Lurie to Dave Checkett's Sports Capital Partners Group. The sale also includes the lease on the Savas Center. The NHL's approval is pending the closing of the sale. A St. Louis Police Civilian Review Board will be in place in the near future. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Moquia says minor disagreements are being worked out.
Unfortunately, I don't think that we'll ever reach total agreement because there's different views on this issue, but I think we can reach consensus.
Sticking points include the number of former police officers who can sit on the board and what types of complaints the board can hear. The St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners discussed the review board when they met last night. Finally this hour, a new cooking experience is now in the St. Louis area. The first local Let's Dish store is now open in Creve Coeur. Ruth Lundquist, the co-founder of the meal preparation store, says customers come to the store and move through workstations stocked with all the necessary ingredients to prepare meals. The meals can be frozen and served as needed. The new store is open in West Oak Square in Creve Coeur. Future stores are planned in St. Peter's, Chesterfield, and Edwardsville. For more information, log on to letsdish.com. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by JCPenney. Get to the men's store at JCPenney and get 60% off the entire stock of shorts, swimwear, and sports shirts for men and young men. The men's store at JCPenney. Sale ends June 25th. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. In both directions, 170 at Forest Park Parkway and Ladue, there's road construction. Left lane's closed. Southbound is slowing near Del Mar. Northbound slows near the Galleria Parkway. Brentwood at Galleria Parkway, there's an injury accident. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge, there's congestion that's been cleared. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44, look for stop-and-go traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for traffic congestion going on there. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 is slow through Maryville Center. Westbound 5570 on the PSB. Right lane's closed due to paving operations and is backed up through 3rd Street. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. Two center lanes are closed at this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank and northbound Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as westbound East Bridge traffic. Look for slow go this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Carpenter ants love the rain. It really tenderizes your wood. Don't worry. The Orkin man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years, so protect your home, protect your family. Call for help, 1-800-ORKINMAN. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Showers and thunderstorms likely today, high around 90. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low around the 70s for Friday. Showers and thunderstorms likely with a high in the lower 80s. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy. There's a chance for showers, high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next is Justice for Reggie. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I understand? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I understand?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's Thursday. It's 8 a.m. That means that it's time for Justice for Reggie, and I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Pretty good.
Very good. Jamala, this morning we're going to take a trip to the prosecution side of the death penalty. But if I could, before we get to that, there was a front page story, I believe it was in the New York Times earlier this week, that is it Minnesota that is revisiting, reenacting the death penalty? It's on the ballot. There was a nasty, nasty, as always, there's a nasty, nasty, nasty murder of a young white girl, and it was an accused person as a white male, and now they're revisiting the issue of whether or not, that because they have a ban on the death penalty, and they're revisiting that issue.
That's interesting, because I was going to say Minnesota's been one of the more liberal states who have stood down on the death penalty for many years.
Absolutely.
So it only takes that one case to sort of reopen it.
Yep.
And,
yep, and especially during an election season.
Yes.
So let's talk about the prosecuting side of the death penalty.
You know, people will be calling the Reggie Clemens case, in fact, the Chain of Rocks Bridge case, period. Nels Moss was the prosecutor in all four of the co-defendants. And there were a number of prosecutorial errors and violations that were made during those trials. And in particular, one that I remember vividly, well, two that I remember vividly. One was the fact that Nels Moss had his investigator in the jury pool contaminating the jurors in terms of, you know, I think these guys did it, they're good for it, and those jurors were actually still used. And so that stood out for me, as well as the fact that he continued to refer to both Marlon and Reggie Clemens, Marlon Gray and Reggie Clemens, in the same breath as he talked about serial killers such as, you know, Charles Manson. And this after he had been reprimanded by the judge in both trials. So he knew what he was doing. And I think that that is the part for me that is it actually borders on criminal, because you knowingly are contaminating a jury and the court for the sake of a conviction. And so,
but the other piece of it is that what did the defense attorney do about this?
Well,
did the defense attorney raise the issue?
No. I think in one case he did, and that's when the judge cited nails Miles with contempt.
Mm-hmm.
So this was during Reggie's trial that he did cite him with contempt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this was after he had done it in the Marlon's case, and then had done it a couple of times in Reggie's case. So finally, you know, the judge did do something about it. But I think one of the things, as we get to our guest, is that the prosecutors had broad powers. They had broad, they have immunity. And so what they do, they knowingly do with the understanding that very little can be done to counteract that or even to hold them accountable.
And there's another piece of that. There's an energy that is brought to bear in these death penalty cases, particularly when we have someone like Nels Moss who is seeking higher office, who wants to run an office. There's an energy brought to the prosecution of these cases that is an energy that is inconsistent with the oath that he takes as a prosecutor. As a prosecutor, it's an energy of I'm going to win at any cost. This is almost like it's a game from the perspective of I'm going to do anything that I can to win this case, and I'll be able to get away with it. So when you have that mentality, that because just think about a prosecutor's resume, he can say that he got every case, every person that was charged in this Chain of Rocks case, he got the death penalty for, and he got convictions for. So that is quite something to put on your resume in the city of St. Louis when you are attempting to run as to become the circuit attorney.
And if you recall, in 1991, he was running
mm-hmm.
for the top law enforcement as prosecutor. But even throughout his term there as in the office of the circuit attorney's office, he had 24 cases that were challenged, and 7 of those the judges reversed the conviction, either declaring it a mistrial or issued some other adverse ruling. And so here you have somebody who's willing to throw the die and say, you know, if I get caught, fine. If not, I'm moving on. And that is exactly what he's done in most cases. And Larry Johnson, who's one of the Missouri's exonerated in terms of DNA, his case was prosecuted by Nels Moss in 1984. And, of course, we now find out that, you know, that was a sham.
You know what would be helpful? I think it would be really helpful to look at the closing arguments and the opening arguments of Nels Moss in that case, because I think you will see a chilling similarity to the opening and closing statements that were used in Reggie's case as well. And also, if you read that, you will also understand that about how they say the same types of things to mm-hmm. get their convictions, and there is a prosecutor's obligation is not to conviction, it's to the truth. And if you see the same cookie-cutter language, if you see the same energy being brought to every case, clearly this isn't about getting to the truth. It's about getting to the conviction.
No. And there's certain elements that you know are critical to swaying a juror. For
mm-hmm.
example, having an eyewitness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you bring an eyewitness or an alleged eyewitness before a jury, and they testify. You know, that's pretty compelling. Even though you don't know what has been done to manipulate that person's ability.
You as a juror.
You as a jury
mm-hmm.
don't know what that person has gone through. For example, in one of the cases where Nels Moss needed an eyewitness to identify a person, and in the case of Larry Johnson, he was clean shaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the person identified the rapist as a person with a mustache. So in the composite drawing, Nels Moss asked the artist to add a mustache. And based on that, the person said, yes, this is the man. So, you know, DNA was not available at that time. So based on the, quote, eyewitness, Larry Johnson was convicted of rape.
By Nels Moss.
Nels Moss, who...
An innocent man.
Who encouraged an artist to add a mustache so that it looked more like the person that he wanted to convict.
The same Nels Moss that inserted his investigator into the jury pool in order to contaminate the jury pool in order to get a conviction of another innocent man.
Absolutely. The other thing that's consistent with Nels Moss, as well as a number of other prosecutors, and that is the inference that something exists that doesn't. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in the case of Reggie Clemens, he told the jury that he had more evidence that he couldn't share with them. Mm-hmm. That was not true.
And
he had nothing.
And, again, it's up to the defense attorney to object to that and to be get the prosecutor admonished for that. But the fact of the matter is that even if you do that and you preserve that and you go up on appeal on that, you can't unring the bell. When things like that are said, even though somebody's admonished for it, you can't unring the bell, and the jury has heard this, and some of them will buy this. And if you add to this the fact that there was a plant inserted in that same jury pool telling them stuff that they had no business knowing, that was untrue, that was pushing them towards conviction anyway, you had those two things, and then you have Nels Ma saying, well, you know, there's a whole lot more stuff out here that we can't tell you. That is so impermissible.
It's impermissible.
And there was no objection made to it.
But you have to know as a prosecutor that that's going to find its way into the psyche and consciousness of a juror. Mm-hmm. Because then they're saying, well, he's got a lot more that we could hear, and so this person is probably guilty.
And you could even ask for a mistrial when a prosecutor uses language like that, and none was forthcoming from the attorney.
No.
So we have a guest this morning.
His name is Steve Weinberg, and Steve has done a number of articles on prosecutorial misconduct. And, you know, one of them, you know, used Nels Ma as the centerpiece. And you know, it's just so interesting as I looked at a lot of those articles, and one in particular that he did where he used the Ellen Riesenover case as a centerpiece. I found that there were numerous examples that he drew from St. Louis courts.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, said a lot about St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm wondering if our court system here is any different from any other in that we know that it exists, you know, all over, particularly in the big cities. But
let's bring Steve on. Steve Weinberg, he's a freelance writer. He's joining us from Columbia, Missouri. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, Nels Ma was used as a centerpiece.
Well, let me explain briefly how that happened. I mean, I didn't go out after Nels Ma at first. I didn't really know anything about him. I do live in Missouri. I live in Columbia, and I used to work in the St. Louis area. I worked at the newspaper in East St. Louis when there still was a newspaper in East St. Louis. I mean, a daily,
mm-hmm.
the Metro East Journal. But I really wasn't very aware of Moss at all. I was working on a national study of prosecutors and the way they perform well and the way they perform not so well. And I'll go into the whole method of the study later if you want. But the short version is, as I looked at prosecutors across the country who were bending and breaking the rules, Moss's name came up more than most. And as a result of that, you know, count of cases where he was accused of misconduct, plus, you know, him being pretty nearby, so the research was a little easier than for me than if he'd, let's say, been a prosecutor in Seattle, I decided to focus on his years as a prosecutor for some of the stories that I wrote. So that's how it came about.
So let's talk about some of the, when you looked at the things that Nels Ma did that were problematic, talk to us about some of those.
Well, you covered some of that already, of course, in the conversation you were just having on the air. And again, I want to make clear that, you know, Ma obviously is a very aggressive prosecutor when he still held that job. But, you know, to some people, aggressive is good. You know, he's definitely putting criminals away, you know, legitimately in many cases. But he does seem to, you know, cross the line more than most. And it's really hard to know where that line is. I mean, I think being a prosecutor is a very difficult job intellectually and emotionally. But there are two kinds of misconduct. What you were saying on the air a minute ago was mostly the kind that occurs inside the courtroom. You know, the opening and the closings and the cross-examinations and the direct examination of witnesses. And while that is something to worry about for sure, and you made really good points, at least it's out in the open for everyone to see, okay? The kind of misconduct by prosecutors that makes me a lot more nervous is the kind that goes on outside of public view, when they don't turn over information to the defense attorneys that they're supposed to turn over, when they prep witnesses in secret, when they work with jailhouse snitches or and other informants, you know, in ways that we can't possibly know. So that's the part that makes me much more nervous with Nels Moss and every other prosecutor. And, of course, it's impossible to know how much of that goes on.
And in terms of, you mentioned that he was an aggressive prosecutor. Well, I was an aggressive defense attorney as well. And there's a difference between being aggressive and crossing the line.
Exactly.
You know, there's a difference between being aggressive and keeping evidence from a defense attorney. Can you give us some of the other examples that you saw with prosecutors across the country that were consistent with the things that you saw Nels Moss do? Because as Jamala said, that Nels Moss was almost used as an example of
exactly.
of what not to do in terms of or acts that are taken that are problematic. Can you share that some of that with us?
Yeah, like I said, there are really two different kinds. The kinds that go on during the trial where you know, use emotional language and where you suggest to jurors that you have more information than you can present, stuff like that. And then there's the kind that goes on outside the courtroom, which is hiding information, failing to disclose information that you're legally bound to disclose. You know, there are 2,341 prosecutors' offices in this country. I'm talking about local prosecutors, you know, like the circuit attorney or the district attorney in St. Louis County. I'm not talking about the feds now, the federal system as a whole, you know, different system, as you know. But there are 2,341 elected prosecutors in this country, and each one of them, of course, has lawyers working for her or him. And what we found, and I guess this wouldn't surprise anybody, just like in any business, if you want to think of it as a business, some of those offices operated according to the rules, and some of them tended to break and bend the rules a lot. You know, as you all said in your conversation before you introduced me, there is winning at all costs, and then there's justice. And you are absolutely right that the prosecutor takes a sworn oath to see that justice is done. That's supposed to be the primary objective. Well, in a lot of prosecutors' offices, I believe that happens, where they think about justice first. But in some, winning at all costs, especially in high-profile cases, is the goal. And, you know, it's hard to change a culture once it starts. Again, I'm no expert on the circuit attorney's office in St. Louis, but I do think the atmosphere has changed somewhat over the years. And if Nels Moss were working today for Jennifer Joyce, I'm not so sure he'd be allowed to get away with what perhaps he was encouraged to do.
Well, I would disagree, and that's a conversation
okay.
for another day.
Well, that may be another conversation. Like I said, I'm no expert, and I don't live in St. Louis, and you're much closer to what's going on. But anyway, there's no doubt that Moss didn't get a lot of close supervision some years. Now, and again, I'm not an expert on his bosses, but I did talk to one of the former prosecutors he worked for, D. Joyce Hayes, at some length.
Mm-hmm. And what did D. Joyce Hayes say?
Well, you know, one of the things she told me is that he was so aggressive and that sometimes he crossed the line so obviously that she really hesitated to have younger lawyers work with him because they might learn those same habits. And she said, and again, I only know what she said. I wasn't there. I wasn't inside. That she was very careful about kind of isolating him some years so that, you know, obviously he was still doing his job. She didn't ever, you know, take him off a case or anything like that.
But doesn't that come back to beg the discussion of, what does doing your job mean?
Exactly.
If he is getting admonished more than any other prosecutor,
right.
If he is being fined in court by judges because of his behavior, if innocent people have gone to jail because of what he's done, that brings us to the question of what is doing the job. And back to the other issue that you raised about if this would happen again, if his boss still has his former boss, is still not saying that he saying that he was doing his job, then don't we have that same culture of acceptance of lawlessness?
And just to add to that, Steve, I know you cited that there were at least 160 times that there was prosecutorial misconduct before Jennifer Joyce took office.
Yes.
And that in 29 of those cases, people were acquitted or their convictions reversed. What does that say about the circuit attorney in terms of trying to run an office and preserve a reputation, or at least maintain a reputation that there's going to be fairness, there's going to be at least the perception of pursuing justice.
Right.
And I want you to think about that, Steve, because we have to take a break right now. We're talking to Steve Weinberg, freelance writer from Columbia, Missouri, and this is Justice for Reggie. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World and Splash and Safari. For the past 60 years, Holiday World has quietly grown into the best family theme park around, focusing our entire business on families. We've been voted the cleanest and friendliest parks in the world. We have great family rides, including three of the world's best wooden roller coasters. And a huge, innovative water park, Splash and Safari. New this year is the Voyage, and I believe it is the best wooden roller coaster ever built. The Voyage travels 1.2 miles with more gut-wrenching airtime than any other wooden roller coaster in the world. People tell us we're a great value for families. We offer both of our parks for one price with free parking. And when you visit us, all your soft drinks are free. For smaller crowd sizes, visit us during the months of May or June. We're located in Santa Claus, Indiana, probably much closer than you think. For more information, visit our website at holidayworld.com. Then take a day off and have fun with your family at Holiday World and Splash and Safari.
For a free Indiana Play Pack coupon book, visit enjoyindiana.com.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears Auto Center. Eastbound 70 at Kings Highway, disabled truck in the center lane. Traffic is slowing around Union. Eastbound 70 at St. Louis Avenue. Look for an accident. It's been cleared. Maybe some delays. Northbound 270 from Dorset to McKelvey. There's an accident. Right lane's blocked. Northbound 270 at 44. No problems to report. Eastbound 70 from P.R. Hughes to 79. Has returned back to normal. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for the right lane closed due to paving operations. And eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Two center lanes are closed. Also for paving. Northbound Route 3 from Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic at the top of the ramp this hour. Northbound 55 at the Poplar Street Bridge. There's paving operations. Two lanes are slowed just south of Gravois. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears Auto Centers. You trust your car to take you places in the summer, but who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Center offers full service bumper-to-bumper car care. So take your car to the place that protects your car the best, Sears Auto Centers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely high around 90. For this evening, showers and thunderstorms to continue with a low around 70. Friday, showers with a high in the lower 80s, and Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Justice for Reggie is up next. take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Enjoy a day of fishing at Fairgrounds Park on Saturday from 8 to 2. They will feature casting practice for the kids and helpers to assist those needing a brush-up lesson on baiting, casting, and reeling in fish. It's recommended that you bring your own fishing rods. A limited number will be available for loan on a first-come, first-served basis. Bait will be provided. Admission is free, but all participants should plan to check in at the registration tent. For more info, call 636-441-4554, extension 235. Something fishy for you from WGNU.
Next on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie. I am Liz Brown, and I am here with Jamala Rogers, and our guest this morning is a freelance writer, Steve Weinberg. He's joining us from Columbia, Missouri, and we're dissecting, talking about prosecutorial misconduct generally, and specifically prosecutorial misconduct in the form of Nels Moss, the prosecutor on the Chain of Rocks case. Steve, welcome back. Steve?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Welcome back. We left you with a question about how do we evaluate this and talk to us.
Okay. Well, you know better than I do how complicated it can be because there's so many, you know, communities within any community like St. Louis. There are definitely people who want to see law and order at any cost and really applaud aggressive prosecutors. And I think a lot of those people really don't understand how aggressiveness in the name of law and order can really hurt public trust in the long run. Because if you have prosecutors who are, like I said, you know, putting away criminals, I mean, that's a big part of their job, but also bending and breaking the rules and sometimes putting away the wrong people, you obviously have a fraying of trust in the criminal justice system.
Well, and also, doesn't it say about if you're telling citizens that they must follow every law, and then you have a department that is supposed to be enforcing that law or reflecting that law, and they're saying they don't have to follow every law, that's a problem, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge problem, of course, and it's why, you know, so many people I know, you know, are so angry about George Bush, you know, not because he's a Republican who's in the White House, but because he seems to believe he's above the law. And when prosecutors, you know, seem to act like they're above the law, I mean, what worse situation can we have? The men and women who have almost untrammeled power to, you know, charge any of us with a crime, not obeying the law that was set up to ensure justice, the very quality they're sworn to uphold. So it's a terrible situation.
And when you looked at other cases across the country, what were some of the other egregious things that you came in contact with?
Well, what worried me the most as I looked at prosecutors' offices all over the country was the ease with which prosecutors can skew justice by failing to disclose information to the defense that might suggest innocence by working with jailhouse snitches and other informers and cutting secret deals if those informers will tell a certain story, sometimes a story that the prosecutor has to know violates common sense and isn't true. It's what goes on outside the courtroom that, you know, we can't know, that the jurors can't know, that very often the judges and defense attorneys can't know, that bothers me the most. And what you found, and, you know, this is true in so many walks of life, is that in the prosecutor's offices where there's a lot of misconduct over the years, it's usually a small percentage of the prosecutors who over and over are bending and breaking the rules. That certainly seemed to be the case in the circuit attorney's office and the St. Louis County District Attorney's office. There were certain prosecutors who would, you know, show up again and again and again as those who were willing to do anything to win.
And it seems like to me, Steve, that in that case, if that is in fact the case, why isn't it easy to isolate them and set them up as examples of what not is going to be tolerated? And also I'd like you to speak to, in one of the articles that you did for the Center for Public Integrity, you talked about the cozy relationship that prosecutors had with police and,
right,
and that kind of thing, which allowed them to over and over again, you know, tamper with evidence and even using so-called experts who were notorious also for not being able to deliver.
Right. Well, let's take your first point, your first excellent point first, which is, you know, how easy or difficult it is to do something about these prosecutors who are bending and breaking the rules. It really is easy, but it just doesn't happen very often. And, I think what has to happen, and this is not easy, is that, you know, citizens of the community, the people who vote for the prosecutor every 4 years, need to pay attention. And, of course, that also suggests that journalists need to pay attention to what's going on. Because, you know, let's say when D. Joyce Hayes was in office, you know, if there had been more pressure on her from the community to discipline Nels Moss or fire him, maybe it would have happened. I mean, there was certainly no love lost between those two. D. Joyce Hayes was not a big fan of Nels Moss, as far as I can tell. But, you know, there's got to be pressure, you know. People saying to her, hey, you're the elected prosecutor. You have the authority to discipline him or anybody else who you employ. Now, why aren't you?
Well, isn't there also, Steve, a certain fear factor involved that people, journalists, people out there are afraid to come straight at a prosecutor, to come straight at criticizing a prosecutor for fear of repercussions?
That's human nature. You know, if you go up against a police officer or a prosecutor or somebody in power like that, obviously those folks could make your life miserable. So it makes sense to me that there's a fear factor.
Mm-hmm. But that also plays into why we're not hearing a lot of these stories and why these stories are not necessarily being pursued with the vigor and the interest that they should be.
Well, I think with most journalists, and again, I'm generalizing, but, you know, I've been a journalist for 40 years, and like I said, some of it in the East St. Louis area a long time ago. With journalists, I don't think there's so much of a fear factor as there just is a sort of cluelessness. You know, prosecutors in general don't get covered well in newspapers and magazines and by radio and TV, your show obviously being an exception. But, and I think part of the reason for that, and you might want to disagree, but I think part of the reason for that is that prosecutors are generally seen by journalists as the good people. You know, they're the ones who are, you know, sacrificing what could be a much more lucrative career in private practice to go out there and, you know, go after the bad people. And so journalists don't give prosecutors the same kind of scrutiny in general that they give other public officials. And I've been working very hard to change that. I used to run an organization that's based here in Columbia, Missouri, but is national in scope. It's the big organization of investigative journalists, and I used to run it day to day. And because of that wonderful platform I had, I would encourage journalists all over the country when I was invited to speak to them to pay more attention to prosecutors, and I'm still trying to do that because, you know, they're so powerful and they're mostly unaccountable.
Well, I think you might be right in that assertion because I know that I can't remember in modern times an investigative report about the office here in St. Louis by any reporter. And I know that the series of that was done in Chicago by some of the investigative reporters actually led to Governor Ryan, you know, moving on the moratorium. So I think that reporters do have a powerful role to play in this debate.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that Chicago Tribune series. That is a great example. By the way, for listeners who don't know, it started appearing in 1999, and the coverage has been continuing. What happened there?
And, Steve, I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Steve Weinberg, freelance writer in Columbia, Missouri. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie. And the show is sponsored by Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. Thank you so much for your sponsorship of Justice for Reggie and also Lane Tabernacle Church as well. Pastor Morris, thank you for your sponsorship. We will be back after this break. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get washers, dryers? Take care of your lawn. This is the time of the year that we are focused on the outside of our house. Tractors, tools, barbecue pits, barbecue, unbelievable barbecue opportunities. Get on down to Sears. I know you have a Sears card. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Havana. A recent article in a Cuban newspaper indicates China has constructed an electronic spying operation in Cuba. The installation was finished around 1997 and cost nearly $1 billion. The installation has the ability to intercept most American communications methods, including phones and satellites. And Dateline London. It looks like ethanol may not be the only alternative fuel source on the market much longer. British Petroleum has announced it is working with chemical maker DuPont to develop another biofuel called biobutanol. It's going to be made from sugar beets at the startup and can later be made from other crops, including corn and, get this, grass. It'll get its trial in Britain as a gasoline additive. One of the problems with ethanol you have not heard much about is the fact that it attracts water molecules. Petroleum companies are reluctant to put it in their pipelines because of fears of corroding them. So ethanol has to be brought to storage terminals on trucks, trains, and barges in smaller quantities where it can then be blended with gasoline. This new fuel, biobutanol, reportedly can be added to gasoline in higher quantities without having to modify car engines, and it reportedly produces better mileage. DuPont and BP have been collaborating on this project for about 3 years, and they say it should come on the market sometime next year. Biobutanol offers more resistance to picking up water than ethanol does, so chances are better that refineries may not be so reluctant to ship it by pipeline. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Justice for Reggie. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, and we're talking to freelance writer Steve Weinberg. He's joining us from Columbia, Missouri, and we're talking about prosecutorial misconduct. And, Steve, you were going to take us to a series that was written in the Chicago newspapers.
Yeah, I mean, you all brought that up, and that's a great example of the power journalists can exercise if they put their attention in the right place. In 1999, three journalists at the Chicago Tribune, you know, working with the editors, of course, began a systematic look at the prosecutors in Cook County, Illinois, you know, Chicago, and elsewhere within the state, and they documented prosecutorial misconduct on a scale that was unimaginable to most people. As a result of that, as you all said, there were some important changes that occurred, including a moratorium on the death penalty and the release of some people who were either innocent or probably innocent. What happened in Illinois was extreme, but what the journalists did could be duplicated anywhere with enough time and enough energy.
And I submit to you, Steve, it should be duplicated because I am As a person of African descent, I am I don't feel the same way in terms of assessing a prosecutor's office as, you know, these are the good guys going after people. And even when we look at the Ellen Reasonover case, when the police asked Ellen why she had used a false name over the telephone, she said that as a black woman dealing with a detectives under pressure to solve a murder with a white male victim, she had to deal with her understanding of that things aren't always going to go that way when you're black and you're dealing with the police department. So when you talk about that there is this understanding out there, maybe that's the story that needs to be talked about, because within certain communities there isn't that understanding, right, and or that viewpoint or that life experience.
Right, and of course that ties into the whole problem of journalism often not being very representative of the community. You know, something mm-hmm. that I as a white person, so when I took my first newspaper job in East St. Louis, you know, that was back in 1970, and there was still a daily newspaper there, as I mentioned, the Metro East Journal. And obviously, I learned a lot very quickly about, the criminal justice system there. And it's certainly no surprise to you that most of the people I dealt with in East St. Louis had very little, if any, confidence in the criminal justice system, and, you know, often for good reason. So, you know, journalists, if there was more diversity within newspapers and within broadcast journalism, maybe we'd get more stories about how prosecutors aren't always the good guys.
Or even curiosity.
Exactly. But, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to happen at the Post-Dispatch or at some of the other media outlets in St. Louis now. There just isn't as much good investigative reporting as there used to be in St. Louis. I think I can say that with a lot of confidence, and I'm not sure it's ever going to get better under certain new ownerships. So, you know, it's a real problem, and, you know, the one thing I feel like I can do effectively, even though it's a huge problem, but besides writing about specific cases and specific prosecutors, which I continue to do, is to work within journalism to change the system. Do we have time to talk about the Ellen Reasonover case for a second?
Certainly.
You know, that's a case I studied at great length and in great depth and published some articles about it. It didn't involve Nels Moss, of course. As you probably know, the prosecutor in that case was Steve Goldman, who's now a judge.
Who got a job promotion off of
yes,
this.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that, I think it's almost unarguable that played a role. And what happened in that case, you know, in many ways illustrates what I'm talking about. All the stuff that goes on outside the courtroom that jurors and sometimes even judges and defense attorneys don't know about. I mean, Steve Goldman, who up until then, based on everything I know, had a pretty clean record as a prosecutor,
Well, I was a public defender out in that office, no.
Okay, well, that's interesting to hear.
No.
But anyway, he, you know, what he did in that case, and of course he professes his innocence about some of this, but the way he worked outside the courtroom, outside of public view, to make sure that certain evidence didn't get heard and to make sure that tainted evidence got presented, I mean, to me that case epitomizes so much of what's wrong with the system. And that case, you know, obviously it haunts Helen Reasonover and a lot of other people more directly involved. I've had a chance to meet her and talk to her at some length. That case just haunts me. I mean, everything, almost everything that can go wrong in a case went wrong. And, you know, we obviously know. And the thing is about that case, and again, I know a lot of your listeners understand this already, it didn't even make common sense. You know, if I had been sitting on the jury, even if I were pro-prosecution going in, okay, I can't imagine a juror listening to that testimony, even though it was unfair testimony and skewed, and saying, oh, Ellen Reasonover did it. I mean, the case made no sense. I've read that trial transcript dozens of times and tried to put myself in the place of the jurors, and I think, huh? How did they come up with a guilty verdict?
Well, we always have to factor race into
right.
the issue of it.
Right.
You know, this is black versus white in the mostly white county, mostly white jury.
Yep.
So
all white jury.
You know, all white. That's right. All white jury in that case. So that's and when we talk about that particular office with Buzz Westfall as the prosecutor,
yep.
talk about prosecutorial misconduct and admonitions from the appellate court system. He was admonished numerous times for keeping black people off the jury. He had a policy in his office that you struck all black people, which is against the law, against the Batson rule.
Yep.
So why was there an all-white jury? Because there was a policy in that office, because they knew if they could get an all-white jury and have a black person charged, they were going to get their conviction.
Yep. You know, obviously I'm not naive either about the role of race here, but it's just hard for me to believe that they found 12 jurors, white, black, or green, who could sleep well at night after swallowing that story. I mean, there was nothing.
What did you start with, Steve, though? You said that there is an understanding that the prosecutors are the good guys.
Yep.
And the other thing, Steve, that if you could speak to real quickly, we have a couple of more minutes here,
uh-huh.
is the role of jurors. And, for example, you talk about how they could come up with a conviction based on what was given to them. And in some cases, there's such conflicting testimony. You might have a tall, dark-skinned person who is being convicted, and the eyewitness said it was a short, light-skinned person with long hair. I mean, sometimes the descriptions are nowhere near but there's still a conviction. And I'm wondering, have you done any research on what is the impact on jurors after the fact when they find out that they either did not have all the evidence presented to them and they convicted somebody, particularly if it's a death penalty case? Because I know in the case of Ellen Reasonover, and that's a case that St. Louis is very familiar with, and I spent 17 years working on that case.
Right.
Joliffe, one of the jailhouse informants, committed suicide later.
Yep.
And so, you know, we hear sometimes about jurors who you know have post-traumatic stress syndrome or who do other kinds of things because they weren't given the information and later on found out that they had convicted a totally innocent person.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine being in that position. I haven't done any real research. I have talked to jurors from the Reasonover case and other cases that turned out to, you know, bring mistaken verdicts, and of course some of them feel terrible. Some of them don't want to talk. And so I don't have a lot of experience dealing with jurors, but you know, I hate to blame the jurors because they're not dealing with a full deck when the prosecutor is withholding information from them. But still, you got to think, I mean, in a case like Ellen Reasonover's, when there is absolutely nothing to connect her to the crime, when even the theory of the case, you know, that she acted with other people, but of course we're not prosecuting those other people, I mean, even the theory of the case made no sense. Nothing made sense.
If you trust and believe the prosecutors,
yeah
it does.
I guess it does. I mean, you've been there in the courtroom, you know, in cases like that, you know, as an advocate, and I haven't. But gosh, I just don't get it.
Steve Weinberg, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And Liz, I just want to remind people that on Monday, instead of our regularly scheduled campaign meeting, we will be at Legacy Books to view the American Justice segment on the Chain of Rocks Bridge case, and that will be 7 o'clock at Legacy Books on Del Mar and Union. So please join us for that viewing and discussion.
And if you give me a note on that, I'll remind people
of that.
Okay,
great.
Okay.
Great.
Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
See you next week. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls and comments. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Democrats pushing for an exit strategy in Iraq. The Senate debating two proposals that would require either a phased withdrawal of U.S. troops or a total withdrawal within a year. ABC's chief Washington correspondent George Stephanopoulos says Republicans have a name for that strategy.
The Republicans are hoping that this charge cutting and running will blunt what is otherwise a bad issue for them. But they also know that if American troops are not on their way home, or people don't think that by November, this could be a very tough issue for them in the elections.
The wife of Marine Corporal Trent Thomas, one of 8 U.S. servicemen charged with kidnapping and murdering a disabled Iraqi civilian in April, says they're all shocked by the charges. Erica Thomas on ABC's Good Morning America says when she first learned of the allegations,
I wasn't really angry. I was just wanting to get this over with. I want to get this going now and get him out of there.
The 7 Marines and 1 sailor being held at Camp Pendleton, California, could face the death penalty if convicted. More from ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon.
In an exclusive interview with ABC News, the brother of the man allegedly murdered by U.S. Marines says the military will fly him and 2 other witnesses to California to testify in the case. I hope those responsible, he told ABC, will get what they deserve.
President Bush speaking in Budapest, Hungary, linking that country's bloody struggle against communist rule with the current climate of Iraq. Hungary's president told him to make sure the U.S. fight against terrorism doesn't trample on human rights. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Los Angeles and Orange County, California, have quietly backed away from a promise to conduct fingerprint background checks on anyone working with children. They say they don't want to lose volunteers who are illegal immigrants. This is ABC News.
Right now, during Lowe's installation celebration, take care of your projects without taking away from your family time. Buy select over-the-range microwaves, window air conditioners, garage door openers, storm doors, or ceiling fans, and get Lowe's basic installation for only $59. Get 20% off all Stain Master carpet, plus free pad. Lowe's installs it. Ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more on your Lowe's consumer credit card now through July 9th. See store for details. Hurry to Lowe's and let us do the work. Your family will be glad you did. Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
VIP treatment at the airport? Well, maybe it shouldn't extend to security checks, say some experts.
The idea was to give frequent travelers, people who practically live on airplanes, a break. For a price, they would be pre-screened and get an ID card, their ticket, through Express Security. But 2 aviation groups say that's just going to gum things up in the limited security space airports have, stretch limited airport resources, and USA Today reports they really don't like the fee. Up to $300 an hour for each express lane, the government wants to make airports pay.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The number of Americans filing first-time claims for unemployment benefits rose by the largest amount in 5 weeks. Younger workers in this country, twice as likely as older colleagues, to steal office supplies for home use without thinking it's wrong. That adds up to about $50 billion a year. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, four juveniles are in custody in connection with the death of a Jefferson County Army ROTC cadet. An anonymous tip led police to the four 16-year-old suspects involved in the accident that killed 21-year-old Chris Dothage. Dothage was thrown off the hood of a car Sunday morning after police say he got into an argument with the teens in an Arnold subdivision. There is no word on what charges the suspects will face. Police pay and pension issues in St. Louis will now be handled locally. Governor Matt Blunt signed a bill yesterday giving the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners the authority to set pay scales locally. Police salary increases had previously required action by the Missouri General Assembly. The current model of Medicaid simply paying providers for health care is ineffective. That's according to Missouri Governor Matt Blunt, who says the state needs to develop a new model to deliver health care to those who need coverage. Blunt says the state also needs to focus more on preventive medicine and encouraging healthy lifestyles. Finally, this hour, today marks the 20th anniversary of an attempted murder that made national headlines. Two Yale undergraduates were brutally attacked by a stranger with an axe at a state park in Klein Falls, Oregon, on this date in 1977. Survivor Terry Jentz's newly released book, Strange Piece of Paradise, describes her efforts to solve the crime.
It turned out that this event had really branded itself in the memory of the people in this community, and they had suffered along with me. And so when I came back, they treated me like a member of their own community, like a member of their family. And, you know, they were very warm and generous and really embraced me and helped me to piece together what happened the night of June 22nd, 77, and also to help me solve the crime.
The suspect was never charged because of the former statute of limitations law in Oregon. Jentz was responsible for changing that law in 1997, and now there's no statute of limitations for attempted murder. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Granite Works New Arrivals. Granite Works has a new shipment of the most beautiful granite you'll ever see. Colors like Tropical Treasure and Golden Sunset. But you gotta see them to believe them, starting at $38 a square foot. Call 862-6300 today. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Dodge dealer. Westbound 44 at Mraz Overpass, there's an accident that's been cleared. Eastbound 70 at Goodfellow all the way to West Florissant is road construction. Right lane's closed. In fact, there's a number of areas where there is road construction going on throughout the city and county, so just use caution as you roll through those work zones. The major one is westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for paving operations. Right lane's closed. Traffic's backed up through 13th and Tudor. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street. Look for paving operations. Two center lanes are closed. Northbound route 55 at Poplar Street. There's also paving operations reduced to two lanes and slow all the way back through Gravois. That is a look at this hour's major traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Dodge dealer. This June, choose how you want to save at your Dodge dealer. Grab 0% APR long-term financing on most Dodge vehicles or grab a huge cash allowance of up to $5,000. See your Dodge dealer for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, 40-day showers and thunderstorms likely, a high around 90 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms to continue with a low around 70. Friday, pretty much the same. Showers are likely with a high in the lower 80s. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 81 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
the truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
citizens. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Much, much, much to talk about. Whoo! Honestly, this is an amazing world that we're. This is an amazing time that we're living in. And I want to get to you about the extent of your manipulation, the manipulation that is being directed to you, towards you. There is an article on the front page of the New York Times today. That would be June 22nd, 2006. Article on the front page. The Republican Party has decided that they are going to... We're in it from their perspective. We've taken a stance on this war. We're in it. We're going to embrace it. And we're going to run with it. It's our issue. And we're going to call the Democrat defeatist. How deep is this stuff? How deep does the rabbit hole go? There was a meeting of all the Republicans with Karl Rove, Sarah Taylor, and the White House counselor, Dan Bartlett. Republicans were pulled into a meeting, hot off his non-indictment. Karl Rove is back in the game, baby. They had a meeting and then a 74-page briefing book was sent to congressional offices from the Pentagon to provide ammunition for what White House officials say will be a central line of attack against the Democrats. And I want you to feel the significance of what I just said. I want you to feel it to your toes. Our Pentagon is being used to provide partisan propaganda. You know what I'm saying? Are they out here executing the war? No. They are providing partisan propaganda in order to keep the same majority in office come the November elections. Dig this. Dig this. Dig this. The 74-page briefing book has been sent. And there will be a central line of attack against the Democrats from now through the midterm elections. What's the attack? The withdrawal being advocated by the Democrats would mean thousands of troops would have died for nothing, which would give extremists a launch pad from which to build an Islamo-fascist empire, which would hand the United States and its most humiliating defeat since Vietnam. It would send a message of weakness to the world. See, these are the same folks that don't have a problem with our real reputation out there, that we are thugs and lawless. They don't have a problem with that reputation. They have a problem with an imagined reputation out there. I ain't done yet, because I want you to feel how you are fixing to be manipulated. 74-page briefing book put together by the Pentagon, sent to Republicans only, with talking points to attack the Democrats prior to the November election. That's deep. But there's more. But there's more. Check it out. The Republicans say the cumulative effect of a request for withdrawal, what would the cumulative effect? It would send a message of weakness to the world at a time where, feel me, new threats from Iran and North Korea would leave enemies controlling Iraq's vast oil reserves. You hear me? So, North Korea and Iran. You hear me? So, how y'all being played? I guarantee you we will begin to hear more. I got to start at the place of, is North Korea really trying to launch any missiles anywhere? Because it seems mighty convenient right about now when we need boogeymen's. Okay? Men's. Iraq and North Korea. So, oh yeah, let's play out this missile thing. Because we have the right wing empty suits out here on television. Pull the little spigot out, blow hot air in them, and they're inflated for their performances on right wing television. And what comes out of the of these empty suit hot air blowhards? Simple things. There's a nuclear bomb pointed at the United States by North Korea. We need to stay in Iraq. Huh? What the? Huh? What kind of logic is that? We need to stay in Iraq and die because of North Korea. No. Let me take that back. I'm not the queen. There ain't no we in that. While our young boys and girls, young girls being raped, young girls being assaulted, young men being decapitated, they need to continue to die so that this administration can win an election. Feel that. Feel that. Meanwhile, they don't want you to, go to the front page of different financial newspapers out here. Go to the fact that unemployment has risen to its highest level in 5 years. Go to the fact that we have had amazing drops in the stock market. Go to the fact that there's an article in the New York Times, a chilling article that's not on the front page, should be on the front page. Middle class is shrinking in the city of New York. Middle class is shrinking. You think? You think? +1 877 920 WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fellow on the car phone.
Last night, about midnight, I called Frontline. And they had a show on called The Dark Side.
The Dark Side. They did play it last night.
Yeah, they played it last night at midnight.
At midnight.
Yep. Dick Cheney and Ronald Dumfell. Been dealing with each other since with the Ford administration when Rumsfeld hired Cheney.
That's right.
And the boys have been working and undercover and doing all kind of crazy stuff since the Ford administration.
Fact.
And they're still doing it today.
Doing it
Rumsfeld
to us.
Rumsfeld and Cheney, they couldn't stand Tenet because Tenet didn't really want to do what they wanted him to do. You know, they didn't want Colin Powell because Colin Powell knew what they were doing was crazy.
And so what does that say about Colin Powell when he carried their water?
Well, you know, and he's suffering for that, too.
As he should.
Yeah, he should suffer, absolutely.
Because this ain't no plaything.
All of them.
This ain't no plaything. You knew the truth about something as serious as that and you didn't tell? This ain't no plaything.
You know what I'm saying? They went to Clinton in 98 with the same garbage, the neoconservatives talking about going in Iraq, and Clinton turned them down. You know, these people, I don't know what the hell they need to be thinking about.
Mm.
We have no business around the world messing with these people. They're killing our kids. They don't give a damn about us. And they're stealing from us.
Mm.
I'm sick of this.
Mm.
Have a good one.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Jim.
Yes, I really appreciate your presentation on the right-wing tactics, and I agree wholeheartedly with your previous caller. And, like, I'm sort of bewildered. You know, I hope you keep doing what you're doing, but it seems like you're just a voice in the wilderness because the airline pilots, you know, their pensions is getting taken away by the corporations, but yet the CEOs retire with millions of dollars in stock options, and they continue to vote against their working class interests.
There is an anger, a righteous anger that doesn't exist in some folks. It is amazing to me to see the things that people are not fighting about. But on the other hand, or in addition to that, the polls are saying that people don't support this war. The polls are saying that people don't support George Bush. The polls are saying that we feel a certain way. What's missing from that are the actions that need to take place to make these changes.
Yeah, I guess people are the progressive, the centrist progressive, I guess, silent majority hasn't been energized. I hope they this upcoming election sort of reflect what the polls are saying.
Well, I think that let the word progressive go. You need to come home to liberal. You need to come home to liberal and not be ashamed and not let people make you ashamed of a word that means freedom.
I'm not...
I guess my point with that is that I'm concerned about the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party is fighting right now with people like Joe Lieberman and not staying liberal. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. I understand what you're saying. I guess, hopefully, they can get some backbone, say liberals, say even left-wing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
ain't ashamed.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Al.
Yeah, let me turn this down. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. I was supposed to call you back and tell you about this Marine.
Okay. Refresh my recollection, Al.
Okay. Yesterday I called you and told you a Marine called my house for my daughter. And I guess he was, talking about recruiting her.
Your 15-year-old daughter?
16.
16-year-old daughter, a recruiter called your house looking for your daughter to recruit her for the military.
Right.
Yes, and I believe I asked you yesterday, how did he get your number? How did he get your baby's number?
Okay, I'm going to go down to the last point where I contacted. They told me to contact a lady by the name of Diana. Her last name is G-U-L-O-T-T-A. And she is the public relation for Hazelwood District School. And she told me that it was a law passed during the Bush administration called No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that law includes that they are obligated to give to the military your child in the high school, Hazelwood East, their name and information. And she said they sent out a newsletter during the first of the year. This all started in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And in the newsletter, it tells you what they have to do, but it tells you you can opt out of it.
That is correct.
You opt out of it.
That is correct.
And so, I never did. Well, I didn't look at it. And it was a 6-page deal, she said. And I told her, would she send me a copy? She says yes, and she'll highlight, what it is. And then she told me that no matter, she said her lawyers, the attorney for the school, contacted her and told her that the military won a lawsuit saying that they can contact your child whether you like it or not. And she's going to contact me on that and give me all the information I need to.
And that is not true. There are districts all over this country that are saying that have their own rules about, okay, we're going to let you into the high school, but we have to have permission from the parents before we let you talk to a child. We're going to allow you into the high school, but we're also going to allow in other people in the high school to talk about to the contrary of this. There are things that school districts can do other than capitulate.
Yeah.
And they are not obligated to give your child, if you opt out, they're not allowed to give your child's information out, period, dot.
Right, now, right, I mean, as it stands now, right, I'm supposed to opt out, and I'll get a chance to do that. But I'm just telling you what she told me.
And I'm telling you that she's wrong.
Right, I wish you'd call her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she told me. She said they got a lawsuit going on, and according to her attorney, that they won the lawsuit. And that's what they say they can do now, regardless of it. Okay.
Okay. Then. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Liz, you know, you were talking about rape, and you were actually referring to our soldiers. But did you see the latest release from the FBI papers through the Freedom of Information Act about our soldiers raping the prisoners?
Mm.
And under the Pentagon and Gonzales rules for interrogation, it says that rape is an acceptable method of interrogation.
Oh, Jesus.
And they have pictures of our soldiers raping a young girl and forcing parents to watch. Now, this is the moral high ground of the Republicans. Yeah, it takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It took me an hour before I could even say something to anyone about it. Unbelievable.
Don, where can I get more information about that? Is there a keyword? Can you give me a keyword that I can Google it?
I would try rape and
freedom of information, maybe.
Soldiers, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I heard it on the radio. I'm going to do the same thing you did and try to find out more this weekend. I'm going to press for time today.
All right, Don, I'm going to go take a look at that right now.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. Hello, morning. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, great deals? Sears, the only one in the city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. They have the things at the big mall that they don't have there. They have great customer service, and also there's some great deals. You need to get on down to Sears. You need to get your shop on, get on down to Sears. I know you have a Sears credit card. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and... let's take on the day and learn how to do the right thing.
Telephone service is a necessity for daily living, yet the cost of activating and maintaining such service may be too expensive for low-income consumers. The Missouri Lifeline program can help individuals receive assistance for telephone service. Please contact your local telephone provider for more information or call the PSC Consumer Hotline at 1-800-392-4211. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Be sure to listen to Joy in Jerusalem each Sunday, time 11 until 12 p.m., with Dr. Evangelist Rosella Burks, presenting Elder William Bailey and Elder Damon Collins, along with other great pastors. Feel the joy every Sunday, time 11 p.m., here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we look at a study that indicates women who use ACE inhibitors to treat high blood pressure while pregnant run a greater risk of giving birth to a child with birth defects. Did the FDA know this as far back as 15 years ago? Why were no warnings ever required? Is this another case of putting money over health? A shocking revelation from investigative journalist Evelyn Pringle of Op-Ed Magazine on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. Something within me. Something within me. That vanishes me. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain. All I know, I thank my God I've got something within me. Oh, something within me.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Don't forget that there are wonderful opportunities awaiting you this weekend. Urban Institute, Irene J. Smith and myself, we will be doing something a little different this weekend. We're going to be showing a film, Loose Change. You think you know what happened on 9/11? No, you don't. No, you don't. We're going to have a discussion. It's important to understand the world that you live in and how you're being manipulated politically. You think you know what happened? I don't think you do. This is a film that they took off the internet. We managed to get it back on, but they don't want you to see this film, and it's something that you should see. You must see. Bring your family. It's a wonderful opportunity. I love doing things like this. Giving people an opportunity to see this film and then having a discussion about it? Doesn't get any better. Come on out Saturday at 9 a.m. The address is 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. Come on out. See the film. Continental breakfast will be served. And then also on Saturday, the Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program. Our children are our biggest and best investment. This is a wonderful thing. This is so wonderful. We're going to have the babies on tomorrow, too, to talk about it. A few weeks back, I invited Young Entrepreneurs Covenant Program on the show to talk to you all about teaching children how to start their own business. Well, they've had the program. They had one session of the program, and the babies have started their own businesses, and they're going to come on the air tomorrow to talk about it. Well, you too can have your child as part of this program. All you have to do is come on out on Saturday to 7276 Natural Bridge from 3 to 5 p.m. More information, call 869-4222. That's 869-4222. This is a wonderful opportunity. Part of the training program involves putting together a business plan, a business code of ethics. How cool is that? Marketing, the creation of the business. And one of the things that we talked about, Robert McGee, who is he created this program. One of the things he talked about was how this in brought together sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, into this whole creation of a business thing. The parents got really into it. And people are starting, perhaps family businesses will come out of this. This is a wonderful thing. This is, and we're talking about ages 9 to 18. 9-year-old baby trying to start his own business. How cool is that? Let's help him. Saturday at Afro World, 7276 Natural Bridge from 3 to 5 p.m. For more information, 869-4222. You can come out and encourage the young people that did start their own businesses, because they're going to be there to talk about them, and bring your child and sign them up for the next program. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. Car phone.
Good morning, young lady. This is TC. How you doing?
TC, good morning.
I love you.
Thank you.
I don't believe anything that come out of this administration. I mean, nothing. The guy they supposed to kill, I don't believe. I don't believe that. I just think they can catch everybody, kill everybody except Osama bin Laden. You don't even hear his name anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe anything. And you said earlier in the week, I think that this administration and the Republican Party said, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, and what you going to do about it. I think one of the other callers mentioned that the Democrats or some Democrats need to get some backbone and stand up to these thugs. Also, and I'm not saying the young man should have been killed, but in St. Charles County, early part of the week, young man used an SUV as a weapon. Police officer was holding on to the door, dragged a little bit. But the young man was roughed up a little bit, but he wasn't shot, and he wasn't killed. Jack in the Box Ford Escort was a weapon. The three babies with the mother and father, the car was a weapon that was shot up. And we can point time and time again where black folks are shot because police said the car is used as a weapon. But this young man used an SUV as a weapon and wasn't shot and wasn't killed. And what you always say is that it's not the crime, it's who...
It's not about the crime, it's about who's accused of the crime.
And last but not least, it's just amazing that Joe and Jane Sixpack, black folks know what's going on for the most part. It's Joe and Jane Sixpack that's being played for suckers intentionally and allowing themselves to be played.
Well, I would look at the polls, TC, and with regard to this war effort, I believe that the polls are showing that America is becoming very, very clear-eyed about this war.
And
it's taken some time, but America is becoming clear-eyed.
And the polls showed that before this last presidential election, and the clown was still re-elected.
But they cheated in Ohio, too. So remember, nobody has won. This administration has never won an election.
Well, they never won the election, but they got 50 million votes. And so I'm just saying, it's amazing that...
What's the percentage of American people out there is 50 million votes? Not that high.
I don't know, but...
Okay,
yeah,
and I got to roll. TC, I got to roll.
Okay,
thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lois, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. This is not any political statement, but it's so profound I wanted to share with you in the audience a blessing that I have gotten from God. Over 10 years ago, my son disappeared, and it was in Seattle, Washington. And that's the one reason why I moved here, because I was alone and I wanted to be around family. So for 10 years, I didn't know if my son was dead or alive.
How old was he?
When he disappeared, he was 30. He had some problems. And he had some drug problems. And in and out of treatment. And then one day he just disappeared and I couldn't find him for a whole year. I searched and it was driving me crazy. So I left and I came here. So all this time, I just been praying and praying and trying to hold myself together and praying to God, you know, to bring, either let me know if he's dead or alive. So yesterday I called Seattle because I'm moving back, and I called to get an application sent for senior housing. And since I have lived in there before, I asked him to see if I was still in the system. And he checked and said, no, you're not, but this, we only have one other Corwee. And I said, you know, my name is so unusual. And I asked him, I said, you got a Corwee? He said, yeah. I said, what is his first name? Is it Jonathan? He said, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was my son.
Oh, my goodness.
That was, it was such a miracle. I thought I was going to have a breakdown. I couldn't. Isn't that God? There is a God out there, folks. God is for real.
Oh, Lois, that is so wonderful.
I wanted to share that with people.
So where was he? Have you talked to him?
No. He wouldn't give me any information, you know, like his address or whatever. But I have a friend there that I'm trying to contact so she can find him for me. And because I was planning on going back to look for him. And just like that, God just gave him to me, just like that.
Oh, Lois, that is wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
People, if put your trust in the Lord and just wait, and he will answer your prayers.
Oh, Lois, yay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so happy for
thank
you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Berlin. It seems that St. Louis-based beer giant Anheuser-Busch is one of 15 major companies that paid big money for the rights to be an official sponsor of the World Cup soccer matches going on in Europe. AB also has the exclusive rights to market and sell its beverages in the stadiums and other venues for the World Cup. Well, it seems that about 1,000 Dutch fans showed up for the game involving the Ivory Coast, but they were wearing bright orange pants that had the logo and name of a popular Dutch brewery on them. Because Anheuser-Busch had the marketing rights to the game, the 1,000 people were told they could not come into the stadium wearing those pants. So what happened? The fans pulled off the pants and came into the stadium in their underwear. There's been more criticism than usual this year of World Cup organizers taking money from companies that peddle what some people classify as unhealthy products. The World Cup is a big money item because last year, a TV audience of nearly 30 billion people watched the games in over 200 countries. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Energy Care is providing window unit air conditioners to those who qualify for the summer cooling program. This program is for low-income, homebound St. Louis City and County residents who have a severe medical need for a cool environment. These individuals can call 314-773-5900 to request an air conditioner. Energy Care staff will visit the homes and install the units. Donations of air conditioners are needed for the program. Please call 314-773-5900 or donate the unit at Energy Care's AC Drive on Saturday from 10 to 1 at Fonfon University in Clayton and Best Buy in Ellisville. You may also make a cash contribution at P.O. Box 63172, St. Louis, Missouri 63163-9966. Cool news to you from WGNU.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer
would move. Coming up Monday on the Wake Up Call, we've rescheduled our interview with David McMichael, a Marine Corps vet and a former consultant with the Defense Department. He worked in counterinsurgency matters in Southeast Asia and says while the killings at Haditha are tragic, they do fall within the tradition of American military operations and are not surprising. You won't want to miss this eye-opening look into the world of military strategy with David McMichael, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Bryant.
Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Para donde vas? Donde vas? Para donde vas?
Cha cha.
Para donde vas?
Oye,
para donde vas?
Dime.
Para donde vas? Donde vas?
Si vas al baile.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't know. There was a in the global news report story about the World Cup. I just want y'all to know Ghana is winning. Ghana versus USA, they scored a goal. I've been told they're looking good out there. Ghana versus USA, go Ghana. Go Ghana. But I wonder. I wonder about us. I worry about us. And USA Today, beaten up dollar unsettles investors in the USA and abroad. Most Americans lack emergency funds. Despite repeated recommendations that people set up emergency funds to weather difficult financial times, fewer than 4 in 10 have done so. I didn't think there were that many. I don't know. We have so many issues confronting us. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz, you know, I think it is great that the Republican House and Senate members are handcuffing themselves to the president's wrist plus his ankle on this, you know, on this war. We are in 1966, and this time it's the Republicans' turn to see what it's like when public support collapses and you say, I will not change. And they just had Cheney on saying that they have made no mistakes in Iraq and that only they can defend the country. So we have to look at one of two thoughts. Either Bush and Cheney are insane, or they are totally evil.
It does set up a wonderful either-or compare and contrast, but it will also come down to the thing that always has to be factored into it. What is the Democratic Party going to do to enhance, to demonstrate the differences? The contrast of the compare and contrast.
Oh, certainly.
And so if the Democrats do not take advantage of that handcuffing, if the Democrats continue to muck about the edges of this and fight with people and Lieberman, instead of denouncing Lieberman for who he is and telling him to go join the other side, it's not going to be, it's an advantage that will not be taken care of, and
well,
then the people will
Lieberman,
lose.
Has no power. To me, Karl Rove, all that's missing is the black uniform and the swastika. He is our Joseph Goebbels. Thank you very much, Liz.
And that is not true if the Democrats do not articulate it. It is not true if they do not articulate. There are a number of battles that need to be engaged in. The Democrats need to be doing what Kerry is doing. I was wrong. I was played. Shouldn't have voted for the war. We need to get out of it. Too many people dying. There is no strategy. We need to get out of it. That's what they need to be saying. No equivocation. I was wrong. It's okay. Everybody's not right all the time. I was wrong. That's not weakness. That's not weakness. That's strength. If it's strength to tie yourself to this abomination that is the Iraq occupation, if it's strength to tie yourself and wrap yourself up in that debacle, Lord, what is it when you say, you know what, that's wrong. I was wrong. Didn't know. I was played. They tricked me. They lied to me, but not no more. I can see clearly now. And the only thing that if the Democrats had the intestinal fortitude that they should, if they had it, they would have T-shirts of George Bush's helicopter lifting off from the green zone in Iraq and saying, now here's the cut and run. Here's the cut and run. The only cutting and running that has been done is when George Bush landed in the green zone in Baghdad and left the chopper motor running so that he and Snowjob could run out of the helicopter, run up to the prime minister. Nice to meet you. Glad you're here. Good job. Good luck. See you. Bye. And then they're back on the chopper. You tell me what part of cut and run that ain't. It is no different. His departure and his arrival is no different than the actions taken by the worst of thieves and those most criminally minded. Does a thief come into your house with his car radio blaring? And the lights on, when a thief walks into your house, does he turn the lights on? Or does he come to your house with lights off, head down, moving fast? Get in and get out. That's what they do. Who cut and run? Say it. Say it. Begins with a G, ends with a B. And throw a W in there. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied.